Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It is great to have you here. It is another Friday. What is that?
I do not.
The music is too loud. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to have you here. Thank you for joining us. If you're tuning in at redice.tv / is it the music that's coming through? Hang on here a second. Am I hearing things? No, it's not. Oh, okay, it's muted. Never mind. I thought I heard the music being doubled there. It's kind of the signs of this week here that's been, right?
Let's dive
into some of this here. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, before the formalities, right? Redice.tv/live, if you're tuning in there, or at vk.com/redicetv, twitter.com/redicetv, or dlive.tv/redicetv. Thanks so much for joining us. However you're tuning in, of course, special thanks to those joining us in the archives at redicemembers.com, the members' website, great way to support us as well. And of course, redice.tv, we've got on BitChute and a number of other places. Still on a couple of websites and social media platforms, despite everything that's going on. So, you know, we're clinging on to some of those.
On the dark corners of the web. Like it's like, Twitter.com. You just punch in a website and you go there. Like, it's so hard to find.
It's not.
It's where the rats really are in the back alley, you know.
A couple of super chats options. Guys, if you want to support the show that way, donorbox.org/red-ice or the cash.me app, cash.me/red-ice-members. Or, of course, Lemons in the DLive chat works as well. We'll try to go through those in a timely manner as things are topical. So we'll try to catch up with that. Anyway, guys, it's great to have you here. It is episode 60 today of Flashback Friday. And it is January 10th, 2020. It's great to have you here. And we've had a
We've been out all week. Everyone's like, what are you doing?
Has everyone been, what are you doing?
To me, people have been writing, what are you doing? Where are you? Like, it's been so quiet. So
Take this from the top or what?
Nothing too exciting, but
for us, it's
exciting, but we're renovating. We're doing these home renovations. And we've been waiting for different people for about a year, and then everyone was available in the same
days,
week and a half period.
Yep.
And it's been hard finding good crews, finding a white local crews as well, because we've had a few enriching experiences that I do not want to have again. So we have some good guys helping us out. But despite that, Henrik, we've been doing a lot as well in addition. And it's just, once you start, it seems like it's just constant touch-ups and never ends, and then there's that to fix, and you notice that, and then once you start really paying attention to your house, if you're going to do it properly, once you really start noticing, then you notice all these other little things, you know.
So
and I can be a little OCD about some of that. Like, I want it done you know.
I thought I'd be able to squeeze out. I had a couple of videos in the pipeline and two interviews that I wanted to get done. This is going to be just it was totally impossible. So like we did Weekend Warrior on Sunday. Then Monday we took some time off, and then back, you know, on Tuesday this started, and like I had to put in.
You were painting a room until 2 a.m.
Well, that was yesterday, but I mean, back like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it was like I had to rip up carpet in a number of rooms. I had to prep everything for floors to be laid. I had to paint. There's
great house, but it was like
organizing
so 90s,
things and 90s, yeah, getting everything together.
So lots of blue and white wallpaper and stuff like that.
You know,
brass.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be thrown out. But anyway, the point is, guys, to make it long story short, I thought I'd be able to squeeze in some red ice work, and it was just impossible. I had to go literally from like 7:30 a.m. to, last night, 2 a.m., but the day before that, maybe around midnight and stuff, so I didn't have time to touch anything else.
I think,
but it's getting close right
when
now.
When it's done, maybe we should do an exclusive home tour for members.
Oh, geez.
One thing I really liked, I think if I didn't do this.
We'll see about that.
I think building homes is a lot of fun, and especially decorating and, you know, choosing all those pieces and how they go together. I have a knack for it. So it's something that I enjoy. So it's great to do it. Mm-hmm. And also, it's kind of cool because the guys in the trades generally are really cool guys, and a lot of them know about stuff. There was one drywall guy that came and he knew red ice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not the first time that's happened before, by the way. Like, hey, I know you guys.
Yeah, no, it does happen.
Which is fun.
Despite being censored everywhere, it still gets the word out. But yeah, anyway, also one thing, it sounds like I have a cold, but actually I have some kind of allergic reaction to all the dust that's whipped up. I got like the first night when we ripped out the, I forgot there was demolition.
Carpet is nasty.
Demolition in the bathroom as well. And that like ripped up a lot of dust or something. Yeah, and I got this like sore throat and reaction and stuff. So it's been a rough week. But anyway, guys, we're not going to talk about this all all the show. I just want to give you guys an update on why there's been no other content. But of course, we had to be back today for Flashback Friday.
I have to say though, This is very much European culture, white culture. Home renovations, decorating. We want to make things look nice. We like putting things together a certain way. We like craftsmanship. We like detail. You know, this is definitely one of our domains. And for me, I like to be surrounded by, if there's things that I can fix or in my power to fix, in a budget to fix, why not? I love to have a beautiful surrounding, and I think most people feel that way too. It influences all the other aspects of your life too.
What do you think, having
an office that has a...
What do you think they're ruining the architecture?
Yeah,
What's the deal with that, right? I mean, there's no squirrely lines and floral patterns or nothing like natural patterns left in them.
It's all straight edge,
cuboid.
Bright white.
You know, it shapes the mind. It's true. I mean, it's like if you don't have those natural... patterns essentially that exist in nature around you, then you'll become linear and square, like square in your thinking only.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
Boxy, I guess.
Yeah. And I will say, last thing before
fit in
we move
like
on,
a brick in the wall.
I do like a little bit of that industrial style though. So we've mixed a little bit of industrial kind of Edison era, you know, Edison bulbs and some, like the era of invention meets more old world Europe with what you were talking about, like beautiful scrolly things and things like your desk here, for instance. So I think it's been a cool combo. I like it.
Now, a couple of things then for you guys too. I saw that there's a couple of emails that have come in. People are trying to reach us. We'll get back to those. I'll get back to those as soon as I can. Again, as I said, I just literally had to drop everything and the whole week was out. But yeah, there's a couple of people. If you wrote, you're right again, that does actually always help. But I'll get back to you as soon as I can regarding whatever issue you've contacted me about. We do the best we can. Of course, we read all the emails, but we don't have time to get back to everybody. So we do the best we can. So Conrad K sent a Cash App little donation, $10, and I think he sent an email address, so I have that saved, and then you sent another one. Let me just check here. Okay, well, that's strange. Hang on. I saw that he asked about Johan Hegg, who's the lead singer in Amaranth. Which is, of course, a Swedish band. Weird. I saw that on the notification, and now when I pull up the actual
it's
app
gone.
To see it, I don't see it there. That's very strange. Anyway, I thought that was him who sent it, but anyway, maybe it was not. Sean D sent $100 Monday as well, by the way. Thank you for that, sir. I appreciate that. That was a little bit earlier, of course, in the week, but thank you. I appreciate that. All right, guys. Let me see. I guess we can just check some of the DLive super chats real quick too before we move on. From there, Mr. Wright sent a Ninjagini. Thank you. He says
he's not wrong.
Diversity is divisive. Even tear apart the monarchy. Exactly.
We're gonna get into that.
We'll definitely get to that later. Thank you, Mr. Wright. He sent another diamond too. No message. Mark Boggs sent a diamond. No message. Red Ice Fan sent a diamond. Says the ladies. Would love a house tour, she says. I think they would. Maybe it's a he, but he speaks for the ladies.
Isn't frying an egg that much better when the kitchen is beautiful?
Frying an egg. Now it came in. Now I see it. Exactly. It was Conrad K. who sent, can we get Johan Hegg on the show? He's a Swede. Maybe. He's interested in some of the things that we touch on, but some of these bands are... They're kind of trying to stay out of the political thing, right? A little bit.
I think especially if they are on the level, then they would just probably not want to tell people that they are because then they'll be banned everywhere. So
yeah, Conrad, he sent three actually in a row. He sent an email as well, an email address, I guess, that's got to be yours, right? His, and two messages about that. We'll try. Couldn't hurt, of course. He did that cool video about... some of the Christmas Yule kind of older things. Remember, he did a pretty good video about that. Maybe he's on the level of some things. I don't know where they are politically, actually, but you know, we'll check that out. Okay, almost ready to dig in here, guys. Just want to make sure there's nothing on Donut Box before we start in case there's something. Let me see here. Okay, let me see. What? 10th. Is it 10th? Yeah, here we go. Okay, it's Double Dog always sends a lot of messages. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. How's the pregnancy, Mama Lana? Congratulations, by the way.
Moving along. Doing well.
Wait a minute. What's Ochin Balsh? Oh, this has got to be Russian. Ochin Balshoi?
Balshoi?
Yeah. Now, this is me reading those.
Ochin Balshoi is like very big.
Ah, okay. I hope the I hope the emotional extremes aren't too bad. Like last time, I had to host the show wearing oversized sunglasses to cover up his black eye.
Well, I don't have a black eye, but yeah.
Well, he's talking about me.
About you,
there.
Huh?
I don't know why.
Oh,
he
yeah,
was
because
also
I punched you, right?
And high heels. No. I assume he.
I don't hit reason. Henrik, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Double Dog. We appreciate that. That's always fun. All right, I think that clears up some of those. Why don't we dive into some of the first
Finally,
few
boogaloo.
Topics here? Yeah, but exactly. This is insane, guys. Look at this here. ADL adds boogaloo to online extremist lexicon.
The okay, hold on. Before okay. When you first told me boogaloo, I thought you said ooga booga. But
is
I wouldn't be
there?
Surprised if ADL adds ooga booga
is
to
that
the list.
I don't even know. I think it was it last
ooga booga.
Last week we talked about what was it that they on last week, Lana? They added on
Kangs.
Was it Wii U.S. Kangs?
And
yeah.
Kangs and Sheet. I think they even added the Sheet in there.
Really? Okay. One thing I noticed, the difference here, of course, is that they are... Remember how long it took for them to like mark like Pepe?
Yeah.
That took like
they're
2 years before
yeah.
they were adding on. Now they're like probably observing like every Telegram group that there is. They're observing every like 4chan, online chat. And they... I mean, this has been around for a while. I'm not saying that. But it's definitely more quicker turnaround time this time.
So, ooga booga, 2 weeks from now. If
possibly, yeah. I mean, there was that one person who was put in jail. Oh, no, the public apology.
That's right.
Tweeting Ooga Booga.
He tweeted Ooga Booga exactly to this black girl, and not just because she's black. She was saying some stuff and whatever. He was an online troll. But they found him out on Twitter, and then he got roped into this lawsuit because she had all these leftists behind him. Did we talk about this on Weekend Warrior?
We did. We covered
right,
it.
Right, and yeah, so now he has to denounce white supremacy, whatever that means, for that tweet for 2 years publicly.
Publicly do a
video.
And
make
do a
video apology yeah. to
wow.
this girl. I
it's,
mean,
it's amazing.
And take anti-hate classes.
That's right.
So it's some
yeah.
re-edumacation camp he has to go to for... 2 weeks or
and
can you imagine what that class is?
And ostensibly, it's just because he said mean things online, right? Like
he said ooga booga. That's
right.
That's
but
what
who
he said.
Else? And again, you might find that repulsive, and you don't agree, or you do agree, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like the point is, you don't see that if there's anyone else doing insults. What about the people calling for like killing white people?
Well,
so, you know
it.
What I mean? It's like re-education classes, maybe.
Yep.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Anyway. The ADL published an article on a term used to describe what people refer to extremists believed to be an upcoming civil war in America, which wasn't well received by all as left anarchists took issue with some of the article's assertions. The future civil war, or boogaloo, has been memed extensively to the point where it doesn't simply refer to an out-and-out civil war, but also small-scale conflicts as a result of divisive policies and media outrage campaigns. So you could say, in other words, if you believe that shit is going to start to hit the fan because of the poor decisions politically in the West, yeah. you are an extremist, right? Yeah. If you try to put a word on that and describe what you think might happen or kind of is on the way of happening, that's it, right?
Absurd.
ADL, you know, yep. can't help it. Yeah, so I was on National File. Did have some good articles, a couple
yeah,
more here. But check out this one. This is good to see. Like, why you don't
Amish
need
get stuff done with no
machines.
Technology.
You don't need. You can just. You have enough men. You lift the barn.
They're
you
really good builders too. If problem. You've ever seen anything that they've built, they're highly skilled woodsmen.
Yeah, check this out here.
On Saturday, March 9th, members of the Amish community arrived at the Hochstetler farm on Snively Road. Over 250 Amish men and others were there to help move a pole barn from one side of the farm to another. Shortly after 9 a.m., they spread out, surrounding the barn, and then they lifted.
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
Men in black.
Walking
yeah.
steadily, they were able to maneuver the barn into its new spot. The entire process took less than 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Literally moving barns together.
Yeah, you're how quiet that is? Like, well-organized and quiet?
Come on, guys. Diversity is your strength. Well, in this case, true diversity, right?
From Northern Knox County, this is Joshua Morrison from Mount Vernon News.
All right, that's it there. But That's amazing. It's, yeah, isn't it that is. Amazing? Just like
they get it done.
Yeah,
you know, Amish supremacy. Amish.
You don't. Well, I mean, there is that thing, right? That they're like, if they continue up with the birth rates, they'll be one of the biggest ethnic groups in America. It's
we can hope.
Pretty interesting.
And the thing is, they'll survive always because they know how to live off the grid
they
without
will.
Electricity.
Yeah,
they farm. I mean, I buy stuff from Amish farmers all the time. Organic raw cheeses. All they do is organic. Like that's all they know.
Yeah.
So I buy stuff from them.
Now, again, as you say, I mean, if the boogaloo happens, right, if the shit hits the fan, if there's an EMP, if the power goes out, if there's a civil war or strife or people start eating each other, these guys will be perfectly fine.
That's good.
We'll see. Maybe Ludditeism is a long-term survival strategy that proves to be successful.
Well, we've talked about we'll this, having 1 foot kind of as a homesteader. You know, it is a
doesn't hurt.
Preparation.
Yeah,
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, no, I wish you know, I would want to live on the countryside when I have
we're gonna
some,
get there.
Have some animals, some chickens, maybe a pig or a cow or something like it, maybe some sheep or something. You know,
once you have a cow, though, you can never leave because they have to be milked like 3 times a day, right?
Yeah, well, you can have people help you. So, now, amazingly, if you have if you have guys like this, they can lift a barn. I'm sure they can milk your cow. It wouldn't be any problem. You know where to move, guys. Amish territory. Anyway, Marianne Williamson has announced that she is suspending her campaign for president.
That's why the long face.
Is that a long face? Yeah, it is
very
a long face. Very long face. The author and self-help guru informed supporters on Friday that she's ending her bid for the Democratic nomination for president. Now, we played some clips with her over the last couple of months here, whenever, however long this campaign has been going on. Remember that in the church when she's doing a healing
getting white
prayer
people to
session?
Repent for their sins of black slavery and, yeah. Oh, my
for
God.
Being evil, for being white and stuff. I think it was something, what was it? There's an official.
Begging, yeah, telling, saying, do you, for having these white people go to black people, say, do you forgive me? Will you forgive me for the sins of slavery? Like,
I ran for president to help forge another direction for our country. I wanted to discuss things I felt needed to be discussed that otherwise were not. I felt that we have done that.
We haven't heard any new age ideologies ever.
No, to take advantage of every possible opportunity to share our message. With causes and primaries now about to begin, however, we will not be able to garner enough votes in the election to elevate our conversation any more than it is now. The primaries might have been tightly contested among the top contenders, and I don't want to get in the way of a progressive candidate winning any of them. As of today, herefore, I'm suspending my campaign.
So. Good riddance.
It'll be greatly
Nobody's
missed.
Disappointed.
Jeez.
She was talking about this.
What a trip.
She feels a dark force over DC. I'm like, you don't have to be a freaking psychic to know that there's like a dark force over Washington, DC. But how are you any different? Like, they're all liberals like you.
Yeah.
They're all globalists just like you.
It's amazing, this lady. It's amazing the people that run, in these especially among the Democrats, but I mean, it's not much better about the Republican race, of course. But a lot of out there politically far left people that have like lined up. You know what I mean? Free healthcare for every illegal immigrant. Just let them in and pay for it all. That's a normal Democratic.
Only
position
two contenders have 1 foot in the grave, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Biden and Bernie, the bees. Yeah,
it's crazy. Check this one out here.
I didn't even read this one.
Yeah, the pastor's wife celebrates transgender child's puberty blockers paid by church insurance.
What good Christians?
A openly queer wife of pastor glorifies child's commencement of puberty blocking therapy.
Wait, so this is a gay couple, like a female couple pastor?
Let me read it here. In a viral Facebook post, activist mother of trans child Jamie Brueshoff celebrated the insertion of puberty blocking implants.
Oh,
so they put in
so
implants.
Wrong.
These
and
look
you know
at the image here. Look at the little wound down in the.
Do you know how bad
right
they'll
there?
Feel too? Just what kind of havoc that's going to wreck in their bodies? Oh my God! Yeah. While they're developing, nonetheless.
It's amazing. Her trans daughter Rebecca, 12, is a public figure with their own
of
Facebook page.
Of course they are. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I want to get famous from this. That's what it's all always about.
Turn into a little trans journey, right? The transformative journey. The post.
No problem on Facebook, by the way.
Yeah, the post congratulates Rebecca's bravery for overcoming a fear of needles and medical professions. Jamie also praises the professionalism of the doctors involved. Now, here's the actual Facebook post here. Today, this kid showed... Where'd he go? showed her strength once again. Today she did something that was hard and scary. Today she made herself proud.
Yeah, oh, it's so stunning and brave in 2020. Like, no one celebrates trans ever.
Today, Rebecca had her second surgical procedure to place hormone-blocking implant in her arm to prevent her from progressing further into puberty. Do you know how damaging that is to the body?
And then they'll have regrets in the future, and then they'll never be the same. Like, these things permanently affect. We've seen, and we covered this last week, the first, was it the trans, the man who got the first non-binary status on his license or whatever, regretted it and changed back.
Yeah.
And he was like, and he was never the same, but he was telling people, no, this messed with me and destroyed my life, and it's all based on pseudoscience and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
It's crazy that, you know, that it's an implant as well. It makes it get more creepy, you know, thinking about people that are ready to microchip themselves or something. You know,
government could come at night when you're sleeping. They don't like political things you're talking about, and they put in this, like, hormone blocker implant in your arm when you're sleeping.
This is one example of what medically appropriate, medically necessary, life-affirming, and often literally life-saving treatment looks like for a transgender child.
Life-saving? Yeah. I mean, they're acting like they're dying from cancer or some disease, and this hormone is saving their life. God, these people live on another planet. No, again, what kind of church is this?
Yeah, let me see here.
It's one of those Unitarian kind of churches.
Let me see here. Jamie Brusoff, her. This is a homepage, a website, briefly describes who she is and what she does, I guess. Let me see. Jamie finishes the proposal condemning JP lawmakers. Yeah, of course. But I'm just going to see if there's a little bit more information about her. Was there a video?
It says hell?
No.
Okay. It says hell on her shirt there?
Strong as. Like hell. Strong as hell. Strong as hell. This is some kind of jab at, like, going to hell I don't know. Anyway, that's pretty creepy. Look at that wound.
So not really rebelling, not your typical preacher's kid, right?
Nope.
Rebelling against your pastor, mother, or father.
Here. Yeah, yeah.
And in this case, they're celebrating it.
Impairing the bone, the bone structure of how that grows and stuff, and these hormones, of course, is interfering so much. I wonder if is it that Israeli company that do these hormones?
Most of them, the majority of them in America,
right?
Yeah, majority of them are coming from Israel.
I forget what the company was called again. We did a little segment on it. I forget what it was called, but yeah.
They don't give it to their own population, though. They don't have trans celebrations over there, but they ship it out over here. Make money off of it, of course.
Let me read that portion about the church. That's what I was looking for. Today, I'm thankful for the top-notch medical facilities and physicians. I'm thankful for ongoing and growing research and guidelines. I'm thankful for for health insurance and covers my kids' medical necessary treatment. Necessary treatment?
It's been covered.
And I'm extra thankful and proud to say the insurance covering this procedure for my transgender daughter is provided to my husband through his employer, the church.
Oh, my God.
So there you go.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to based Christianity right there.
Wonder what the father really feels about this.
Yeah.
Or is the father really a mother too?
I don't know. I'm very confused.
I'm pretty sure these days.
I'm very confused by all of this, to be honest. All right. Anyway, let's dive into this the Iran thing a little bit here. It was things have happened, of course. It's been heating up, and you know, people have been worried, understandably, what's going to happen, how bad is this going to turn out. It has settled down, obviously, a little bit. There's still stuff happening, of course, things back and forth. Things could very quickly escalate without a doubt, absolutely. However, it was enough positivity around the decisions not going to war here that the Dow hit 29,000 for the first time ever. Twitter had a little trending portion on that as well. So, you know, we've seen a lot of ups and downs when it comes to the stock market. One day it's the lowest low, and it's dropping down, and then it's up again. It's like incredibly uncertain. But it's not over, of course. It doesn't mean this is we can breathe easily here. This is continued. Russia's now. This is a little bit of a kind of a breaking story here. Before we came on, I saw it in passing. Look at the wording here too. Russian warship aggressively approached U.S. destroyer in
They're
Arabian
like,
Sea.
Hi.
They're like, look at us. Here we are in the Arabian Sea. It aggressively approached a U.S. Navy destroyer while it was operating in the North Arabian Sea Thursday, ignoring warnings from the U.S. vessel and increasing the risk of collision, the U.S. Navy said Friday. I'm sure they would just 100% accurately say these things as well, right? Videos of the incident which were obtained by CNN shows the Russian warship rapidly approaching the USS Farragut, or Farragut, coming as close as 180 feet to the U.S. ship before changing course, according to two defense officials. Let me see if this is the video for that, or if it's the top one. Come on, CNN. Are you going to be loading?
This is first on CNN. New video of a close and dangerous encounter between a Russian warship and a U.S. destroyer in the Middle East. Poppy, just the latest in a series of deliberate close encounters like this by Russia.
Yeah, deliberate. Let's go to the Pentagon. Barbara Starr is there. Barbara, tell us about the video.
Yes, Barbara, well, tell us, please.
I'm sorry, but it's like...
Look at her.
Deliberately close. Is that also like true for like the American military when they like invade Iraq? That's not getting too close.
They're literally occupying and invading, and they're like, you're not welcome here. The Russians are probably welcome there.
It's very possible, but, you know, again, what makes it worse, of course, is it was based on a lie, too. Just a bunch of bullshit. Weapons of mass destruction. Total just scam. Anyway.
This video now just in from the U.S. Navy in the Middle East. This happened yesterday. A U.S. destroyer, the Farragut, was sailing in the North Arabian Sea when this Russian warship came up behind it. And you need to look at this video. You will see the Russian ship continue to approach.
It
came within 60 yards of the U.S. Navy ship. The U.S. Navy the Farragut, had to sound 5 alarms, an international signal for danger of a collision. But it wasn't until they conducted radio bridge-to-bridge communications that the Russians turned and backed away. They came within 60 yards. My colleague Ryan Brown has learned that the Navy ship was sailing there at the time to protect the aircraft carrier Harry Truman. Of course, these are very sensitive waters right now.
Sniper,
you can hear some
right
of the
right
blast. Yeah. Sensitive waters because of the situation with Iran. The Russians did turn away, but the U.S. feels this was a very aggressive action by them. And you can assume they're making the video public to the world to show what the Russians did.
This is first.
Right. Sorry.
And they're probably
that off.
Let's mess with them because they think that we're controlling everything in America right now. So,
yeah.
It's a Russian conspiracy, everything.
I'm not saying, of course, but it's like, it's kind of this.
Like America doesn't do this.
Exactly. I mean, well, it's not even that. And they're actually going and they drop bombs on people. And, you know, of course, Russia has the Ukraine situation, all that stuff, right? But. I mean, essentially, it's just them just doing whatever else kind of a bully in the region does, essentially. And now it's like, oh my God, we can't believe this. Sound the horn 5 times, or else maybe they're just holding course and speed.
Yeah, exactly. I
don't know. But anyway, point is here, guys.
It wasn't aggressive. Nothing happened. No one got hurt. There was no damage.
The point is, this is slightest little things like this is on the increase. Things are very tense. Things could turn incredibly fast. Of course, I don't think we actually came back and reported on the rockets that were dropped on the... actually, we did. Yeah, we can worry. We did report on that, on the rockets on the Iraqi bases and all that stuff. Iran, of course, raised the red flag of war, if you will. So things are far from over. And weaved into this drama as well is, of course, the plane crash of the Ukrainian... aircraft that Ukraine International Airlines, it was flight 752 that crashed just after taking off from Tehran's airport. There's been tons of speculation. Was it intentionally shot down? Was it Iranian defenses missiles that did this? That's what kind of the Western press started to tell us. A little bit of a debacle with the black box. We'll cover that in a moment. But there is actually some video that came out of when the plane actually was downed as well. 176 people aboard died when the plane crashed early Wednesday. Let's check out this footage here. Pretty dramatic stuff. Apparently, a surveillance camera out on a soccer field, actually, in Iran that caught it. No audio, but... All right, for a podcast audience, CNN obtained this video that shows moment of Ukrainian plane crash outside of Tehran. And there we go. Kaboom! That went down. That is a downed plane, ladies and gentlemen. The surveillance footage was taken from near a football pitch, yes, in the town of Kahaj something. Now, of course, there are some people that have reported that the plane was actually on fire. either there was the fuselage or there was someone that had detonated something aboard. We still don't know. It's a huge... I don't think it's a... Obviously, this is not a coincidence, right? Let me actually check what the text says there about that. U.S. and Canadian officials believe the aircraft was mistakenly hit by an Iranian missile defense system. Iran calls it a big lie amid an increasing international demand for an investigation. It could be a false, someone shot it down to in an attempt to try to pin it on someone else, right?
Yeah.
It's very, very possible. So this is from Reuters here reporting that Iran is to analyze black box after missile blamed for crash. Tehran said Friday it wanted to download black box recordings itself from a Ukrainian airline crash that killed all 176 people aboard after Canada and others said the plane was brought down by an Iranian missile, probably by mistake, but we still don't know that. Iran, which denies the Boeing 737-800 was downed by a missile, said it could take 1 or 2 months to extract information from the voice and flight data recorder. How the hell does it take 1 to 2 months? I'm sorry, but is that how complicated those things are? You can't.
Government.
All right. Well,
it takes forever for anything.
Let's hand it over to some government slug. And they can suck on that box for like a couple of weeks
and charge a bunch of money while they do.
Can't you just do it right away? I don't get it. Anyway, maybe they want to meddle with the information. It said it might ask Russia, Canada, France, or Ukraine for help in the probe that could take 1 or 2 years to complete.
Jeez, by then everyone will forget about it.
Remember the Malaysian MH7?
That's right.
You remember that? Or 800, MH700 or something? I don't. It's still a mystery. It disappeared. It's gone. It was down. We don't know. There's a huge conspiracy around that. I would check out again who was on board. I haven't actually checked on the flight manifest and any of that stuff. And I don't know how public that is, but maybe there was the right person on board, if you know what I'm saying, right?
It was mostly Asians, though, wasn't it? On there.
I thought it was Ukrainians actually
was
too.
There Ukrainians?
Right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure.
Let me see if it says something about that. Yeah, Crash Wednesday, blah blah blah.
No, I was talking about the other one. The Malaysia.
Yeah, no, there was a bunch of different people on that actually.
Yeah, that's right. It was a mix of people.
Yeah,
from
it was a
all
lot
of
different
countries.
A lot of different people, and I forget there was someone like kind of a high profile person that was on that plane as well. We do believe it's likely the plane was shut down by an Iranian missile. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said. Of the Ukraine.
Yeah, because we can trust what
briefing.
That guy says.
He always tells the truth. Mike Pompeo, absolutely.
He's our friend.
He never spins anything, that guy, you know. In an outpouring of grief, Iranians and others shared images on the crash site on social media. Anyway, you get the idea. It's very strange. I don't know if it is a very, very strange and timely, I guess, coincidence, or if there's something else more to it. Iran refuses to hand over black box data of plane that crashed over Tehran. Now, again, that comes in hand with them saying, we want to extract it ourselves, we want to download it, but while the other the other side of this ongoing conflict now between Iran and essentially the rest of the coalition forces, as they call themselves today, wants them to have it. And again, I don't know how easy it is to meddle with these things. I don't know if there would be any cover-up. Again, is that why they say it's going to take 1 to 2 months?
I saw someone say in the chat that there was no U.S. citizens on the plane.
No.
Canadians with Iranian background.
That's right. Canadians,
so why would they shoot down a bunch of... Why would Iran shoot down a bunch of Iranians on a plane?
Well, again, I don't know. Maybe there was someone exiting out that was going to hand over a sensitive data. I mean, anything is possible, right? I'm still kind of surprised that there was like a Ukrainian airline still going in and out of Tehran, considering everything that's been going on, actually. I mean, I know that the U.S. said like no traveling into Iran right now and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty interesting. Let me see here. According to the company, Boeing 737-800 was one of their best planes in the fleet. It was in excellent condition, had undergone scheduled maintenance just 2 days before the crash. The pilots and flight crew were also described as highly experienced and competent, with UIA flight director Ihor Sosnovsky, I guess, asserting... given their experience, it's very hard to say something was wrong with them, right? So it's very interesting. I had to play something by Ian Miles Chong, but maybe this is this is some of the footage actually before. Let me check this out here. Come on, play. Here we go. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did see a little bit of this footage before. Cell phone of the actual crash. As you can see, it's clearly a like on fire. But we don't know. Was it the fuselage? Was there some, was it on board? You can see the explosion here.
Burns direction.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Flip the phone the other way, man.
Vertical video. There it is.
Ooh, that's a big one. Big kaboom.
Yeah. Big kaboom. And then we saw the surveillance footage of that earlier, of course. But yeah, so it's very, very strange. Experts say passenger plane that crashed in Tehran was likely shot down. We've kind of talked about this a little bit already. Photos show obvious projectile holes in the fuselage and wing section. There's always so much cover-up when these kinds of things happen. Here's some of the photos from that, too. But again, I mean, that's a pretty massive impact. This could be,
as far as I know, it
could be anything that struck that or hit that or thrown back on itself. Yeah. And, you know, but again, I mean, they can figure quite a bit out by piecing these things together amazingly, you know. But yeah, we'll just have to see. It's very, very, very strange. So the sanctions issue, I can speak today. I'm still a little, under the weather, it feels like, after the allergies and stuff I've been struggling with all week because of the renovation. But anyway, the sanctions is kind of the next step up, of course, in the warfare, really, against Iran. It is a Cold War, obviously, at this stage. And as Russia and China kind of more aligns themselves with that side, America is getting increasingly... Well, both desperate, but also concerned to try to do what they can to push back against Iran. So in the latest, Mnuchin and Mike Pompeo did a press conference where they spoke about what kind of sanctions they're imposing. So let's just listen to that here.
As previously announced by the president, we are announcing additional sanctions against the Iranian regime as a result of the attack on U.S. and allied troops. First, the president is issuing an executive order authorizing the imposition of additional sanctions against any individual owning, operating, trading with, or assisting sectors of the Iranian economy, including construction, manufacturing, textiles, and mining. And let me be clear, these will be both primary and secondary sanctions. The EO also allows us to designate other sectors in the future as Secretary Pompeo and me think is appropriate. Second, we are announcing 17 specific sanctions against Iran's largest steel and iron manufacturers, three Seychelles-based entities, and a vessel involved in the transfer of products. As a result of these actions, we will cut off billions of dollars of support to the Iranian regime. And
But why are they giving billions of dollars
exactly
to Iran?
They're already rich. They have tons of oil. Oh, well, like, they don't need money.
You're the expert. This is international politics. They know what they're doing. These are the experts.
I love how he says
they're literally almost at war with them.
I see how I and Pompeo see fit. These elitist, billionaire elitists that are going to make the decision. But yeah, sanctions, this is how they war these days, economically and through resources, right? Because they can't be too obvious and drop bombs that are too big all at once, like a Hiroshima
something. Give them time. He's kind of weird too.
He's aged horribly, and he looks like he has no soul in there. He's got these
later
beady
when
eyes.
Pompeo speaks. It's fine, right? But he's kind of a weirdo.
No, it's not fine. They're not fine.
Let's listen a bit more here.
We'll continue our enforcement of other entities. Third, we are taking action against 8 senior Iranian officials who advanced the regime's destabilizing activity and were involved in Tuesday's ballistic missile strike. Secretary Pompeo will comment more on this. Today's sanctions are part of our commitment to stop the Iranian regime's global terrorist activities. The president has been very clear. We will continue to apply economic sanctions until Iran stops its terrorist activities and commit that it will never have nuclear weapons.
Now, I mean, I get that America has, they're the major force in the world. Of course, they have other smaller entities on it that essentially manipulates the America is like the body, but then you have a different brain on it, right? But it's amazing how, like, they can just come in and say these things and dictate these are terrorists.
We're top dog. This is how it's going to be.
They just like have surrounded Iran with military bases, with literally all kinds of things. They have, you know, everything pointed at them. And it's like, well, they're the terrorists. They have to go. I'm not saying that. I mean, again, I'm not saying that Iran is... It's one of these things when you look online and you look at comments about
this.
Oh, are
you defending Iran because we don't want to go drop bombs on them and support, you know, war with Iran right now? I hate that. I hate that. I mean, it is strange. I just want to say real quick, living in a country whose foreign policy you do not support. It's weird living in a country when you see that country is going overseas and meddling and toppling people, dropping bombs, being this global police force. It doesn't mean that we support Iran 100% in whatever actions that they're doing.
No, I mean, they obviously have their issues and they've but at the same time, it's this idea that
it's their issues.
They can't have any level of like doing what's best for them or looking, you know what I mean? It's this, we hold the power and you submit, you do what we tell you to do. That's what the thing is. And then at the gall, you have someone like Mike Pompeo is talking about, well, we believe that the nation, you know, sovereignty and this nation needs to do submit. I think he says something here later about some... They need to behave as an international, you know, they need to fall in line with other nations, essentially. You know, again, they don't have a central bank. There's a number of issues that they're struggling with. And again, if you just juxtapose some of the things that Iran has with what Israel has done and stuff like that. I mean, Israel is far out in terms of a much more, a volatile nation in the region, right? It has nukes.
Yeah, people
it
doesn't hate have them. To report Everyone who lives that. Around them
that,
hates
that's
them.
That's fine. But if Iran want to pursue that, no, you can't. Why? Because we tell you so. It's all that stuff. But I see a lot of, if we get too deep into this here, but I do see a lot of MAGA people that just because Trump is doing certain things, they do actually just support it. But if it was, I mean, think about it. Obama was given a Nobel Peace Prize. He bombed more than Bush did before him in Afghanistan and Iraq, and so he upped the campaign and stuff like that. He did a lot of crazy shit. He was given a Nobel Peace Prize, and a lot of people were against what he was doing. The media didn't cause a ruckus at all about that. A fuckus. didn't cause a ruckus about that at all. Now I get this idea too, but I don't know how to kind of break this down. But it's almost like that they, on some level, they know that if media almost takes the side of Iran and almost like, you know, that the liberal faction of this...
They lose the support. They,
they take that side and then they immediately lose the support with the current current government in America, which you know, holds the power. They dictate, they want to, you know, they do what they want to do, essentially. So then you get an automatic response of like, oh, okay, well, whatever he's doing, it's awesome, it's fantastic. But if Hillary would have done it, would they have been for that if she became the president?
No,
you know what I mean?
That's just it.
I don't think so. And again, this is just the same old neocon bullshit that's continued now for, president after president. It doesn't matter whoever is in there. They just it's just a switch of the PR man, the front man who has no decision making whatsoever, right? These MAGA people are like, whatever he does,
America,
it's great.
Yeah, America should be the top. We should be monitoring things in the world and control things and keep an eye on things. And how about we focus on the fire in our own country, like all the problems? I love to hear how we have all this money to bomb and go overseas, but we can't build a wall.
No,
can't deport people, can't muster up military on the home front. Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's so many issues. Problems. So
America
many issues.
Is a mess. It's becoming a third world crap hole now.
And again, the
everyone's
fact that
broke and struggling, and it's a mess.
And then again, the fact that they're giving billions in aid to our, it's so weird. You know what I mean? Anyway, let's listen to the rest. I could talk about this for a long time, but it's just like, just put it in perspective to what it is that they are doing and how much they are meddling in this, both in the region but in other countries' elections and all the things that they're doing. Then a country comes up, kind of like what Russia's done. They show some inclination of self-preservation and doing what's best for them in their interest.
Yeah,
and then you're a terrorist, you're a bully, we're gonna shut you down. Anyway.
I'll now turn it over to Secretary Pompeo.
Yeah, here we go. Look at this double speech, you know. It's Grima Worm Tongue. He's amazing, this guy.
Good morning, everyone. Today, President Trump is delivering on the pledge that he made. The day after Iran attacked American forces in Iraq, there will be a series of new sanctions. Secretary Mnuchin just mentioned 8 senior Iranian officials that are responsible for the regime's violence, both at home and abroad. were striking at the heart of the Islamic Republic's inner security apparatus. These sanctions targets include the Secretary of the Supreme National Council and the Commander of the Basij Forces. That's the regime's brute squad, which has in the last few months killed approximately 1,500 Iranians who were simply demanding
freedom.
We haven't
seen any of this.
Our action also targets other senior leaders close to the Ayatollah. They've carried out his terrorist plots and destabilizing campaigns across the Middle East and around the world.
Now, Israel and America has definitely not taken care in destabilizing campaigns in the region, right? I mean, again, the whole thing, put it in perspective, Iraq war, bullshit, WMDs, just a big lie. 17 years later, massive amounts of money. People at home are homeless. Their mental issues are out of control. Opioid crisis, open borders. Like, what? And this is what they're spending the majority of the time.
Oh, and by the way, as far as MAGA, I just want to say real quick, they would show, but here's pictures of Iran hanging gays. And then you learn, like, that's always their defense. But they hang gays, you know, like these Charlie Kirks. It's like, actually, no, those are old pictures. You guys were exposed when they were hanging criminals and drug dealers. Mm. Like, how they use those pictures too to justify. Yeah. Okay, so they hung these three gays, so we should just go bomb and just destabilize everything.
Well, I mean, again, we'll show some footage later of what's happening in France with the brutality of the police there and stuff. And I mean, I'm sure they're not hanging them, but I'm saying you've seen much milder pushback by authorities in other countries, even like Venezuela and stuff like that. And now all of a sudden, it's an outrage. We got to invade. We got to topple this regime, and they call it a regime. All this that's their wording. That's their. They're using this to
it's a big scary thing mind. When you say regime. Ooh, well, sounds evil, right?
Yeah, that's how they use it. That it's not legitimate. It's just like a thuggery kind of a criminal cabal that has nestled their way into positions of government, essentially. But anyway, let's listen to the rest here.
They've employed soldiers across the region's battlefields. They've trained militias in Iraq, Syria, and elsewhere in the arts of domestic repression. Today, they're accountable for murder and mayhem. The goal of our campaign is to deny the regime the resources to conduct its destructive foreign policy. We want Iran to simply behave like a normal nation. Yeah. We believe the sanctions that we impose...
Listen to that. Behave like as a normal nation. And again, it's like, who are you, the arbiter of that?
Or yes,
you,
they
you're
think
gonna,
they are.
You're going to tell everyone else how to run their business?
We have the power, we say. Well, they're losing that power.
Is to deny the regime the resources to conduct its destructive foreign policy. We want Iran to simply behave like a normal nation.
A normal nation. And a normal nation would not defend itself. They would not stand up for their own interests. They would not do things that are better for them or the region for that matter. Imagine if all the countries around Iran are taken over. Satellite countries, and they become vassal states of the U.S. Do you think that will be good for Iran? I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's understandable that they do what they need to do to try to push back in whatever way that they can. And sanctions. Remember, just like Japan in the Second World War, they imposed so hard sanctions on Japan, definitely was just cornered on the issue. They had nothing else to turn to. And that's what this is about, too. It's about making things so unbearable for them that they have to attack. And when they attack, Americans said, that's the call. Yeah. Go in. You know, institute the draft and let's do a ground war, right? Invasion.
We believe the sanctions that we impose today further that strategic objective. Our campaign is composed of diplomatic, economic components that have deprived the regime of billions in revenue that regime has used to fuel death and destruction across the Middle East and all across the world.
Prove it.
Sadly, the previous administration had opened up.
I just can't help it, but there's never
been Iranian terrorist
attack in the West. The Sunni Shia faction, right? Well, the major terrorists have come from, that's like a Saudi Arabian alliance, right? They're on their side. I think at least in America, I'm not saying they haven't been in terrorism from Shiite, but I think Sunni, right, are the major faction. I'm sorry if I get them mixed up, but one of the factions, which I know, you have the Saudi Arabia faction, and they're allies now of America. They're fine, good partners with them. They're partners with Israel.
Saudi Arabia,
they've
Israel,
all teamed
America,
up.
Yeah.
I heard Pompeo the other day talk about how the horrible conditions that Iran has imposed on Yemen. Like, what? Wait a minute, it's Saudi Arabia. That's like some of the worst, hunger catastrophes is happening. Media is not talking about it. No one's just, doesn't give a shit. It's still ongoing. And it's like, that's Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that's not Iran. And again, on American soil, there's never been like Iranian terrorists. There's never been that faction of the of Islam they represent, right? But why this is bullshit.
They're causing trouble all across the world, he said.
Global terrorism. While Saudi Arabia is like funding mosques to go up in Europe.
Yeah.
Here we go. Bring them all in.
And they don't take any in refugees either, just like their buddies in Israel.
No, of course not.
Up revenue streams for Iran. But under our administration, oil revenues are down by 80%, and Iran cannot access roughly 90% of its foreign currency reserves.
Yeah.
And not even 2 weeks ago, President Rouhani of Iran admitted that our sanctions have cost Iran over $200 billion in lost foreign income and investment. Yeah. As long as Iran's outlaws' ways continue, we will continue to impose sanctions.
Anyway, I'm going to cut it there, but that's what it's about. It's get our economic system. You play ball, you do what we tell you to do, or we'll strangle you, essentially, until you, choke you out. And look at this here. I was going to do this a little bit later, but I'm sure this is total coincidence and whatever too, right? Making sure that Iran cannot sustain itself economically, can't trade with other partners. And again, I don't know what happens if, let's say, a country, if U.S. employs does sanctions against Iran, and then a third country comes into the picture. Let's say Norway.
Right? We'll trade with you.
We'll buy with you.
Are they going to bomb Norway too?
Well, they wouldn't bomb them, but they would essentially extend those sanctions to them, I would imagine, or something. Oh, yeah. This is unacceptable or whatever. But anyway, Iran says oil field found with 53 billion barrels of crude oil. This is back in November 10th. We report on this in Weekend Warrior. I remember it was like, oh, this is a big deal. They essentially said, we'll... The south southwestern part of Iran with this field is where they found it. Massive find, massive amounts of money. The find would add around 34% of the OPEC members' current proven reserves. Estimated energy giant BP at 155.6 billion barrels of crude oil. Iran is a fund. Blah blah blah. It goes on to that, but. Here it is. The field covers 2,400 square kilometers and is located in Iran's southwestern province of Khuzestan. This is a small gift by government to the people of Iran, he said, right? So anyway, the point is, I'm sure this has nothing to do with each other. I'm not saying America is just there for the oil. Obviously not. There's many different layers
and we give them
to
billions?
The agenda.
They have billions of barrels of oil, and we give them billions of dollars.
It's just so strange. And again, imagine then if, Russia, of course, have a lot of natural gas themselves. I think that they're fine on the energy front as well. America, because of fracking, has essentially become independent on the energy front as well, which is, of course, we know fracking is no
high
good, but they're
rates,
doing it,
poisoning the environment, but...
So at that point, so at the moment, maybe U.S. and Russia don't need it, but there's many other countries. Maybe China would work together with Iran, for example, right? Getting oil. They need a lot of oil. They don't have a lot of that either. So it's all connected, this stuff, all connected. Okay, a couple of more stories on this before we move on from this topic. Now, of course, the Iraqi government voted for foreign troops to leave the country recently. Washington rejects Iraqi request to remove troops.
No, we're going to stay and just invade you and do what we want.
Washington on Friday rebuffed an Iraqi request to prepare to pull out its troops amid heightened U.S.-Iranian tensions after the U.S. killing of Iranian commander in Baghdad. Seeking to tighten pressure on its arch foe, the United States, meanwhile, imposed more sanctions on Iran, responding to an attack on U.S. troops, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that. Iraq looks to set the... Let me do that again. Iraq looks to set to bear the brunt. I'm a little bit underneath
that.
I
got
to tell you.
It's all right. My mind kind of gets jumbled up when I read their words.
It's fine. Right? I've been foggy. The thing is about the allergy thing that I'm struggling with. That makes me foggy. I can't think properly. Anyway, Iraq looks set to bear the brunt of any further violence between its neighbor Iran and the United States, its leaders caught in a bind as Washington and Tehran are also, and also the Iraqi government's main allies and and the influence of there. Let me just see if this clip was actually anything that deals with
Iraq's top Shiite Muslim cleric is condemning the US and Iranian attacks on Iraqi soil and warns the worst may be yet to come for his country caught in the crossfire and the wider region. Ali al-Sistani gave his message through a representative who delivered a weekly sermon at Friday prayers in the holy city of Karbala.
What happened in recent days in terms of dangerous aggressions and repeated violations against Iraqi sovereignty clearly shows the weakness of the responsible authorities. Iraq should be independent and led by its own people. There should be no role for foreigners in its decisions. The rules of law within it must be according to the will of the nation.
And that's essentially what Pompeo is talking about. Like, you get it, you know. Well, we have to make sure the Iranians are out celebrating that America killed, Soleimani and stuff like that. It's like, what?
They weren't.
No, it's total
they were
double
out in
speak.
Support
you know?
Of him.
Yeah, and then when you hear some of these guys speak and stuff like that, I'm like, sure, I get it. It's governments; they all have their own version of propaganda and all that stuff. But it's this idea that they're making them seem like they're these crazy maniacs that are just like totally unreasonable. You can't deal with them on any
level
at all.
Like they do with us, these same people. You know,
look,
they lie
I mean,
about
it's a huge issue between Iran and Israel, right? And America's protecting Israel. That's how
it's
basic
like,
it is.
Yeah, it's like, America let them have their issues. I just feel like I just don't care about them. These are other countries. Just protect our own country, you know? Don't be over there meddling and defending other countries and taking sides. And no, I mean, all the taxpayers, when have we been asked on this? I mean, a lot of people who voted for Trump voted against wars. Because Trump came out
elected.
On the campaign, I'm not going to go to war, endless foreign wars, let's end wars, bring guys back home.
America
and
first.
And that's not what we have.
America first. That's what it was about. And now it's Israel first again. Because
so you
this
can't blame it on all MAGA
region.
People. Because there's a lot of MAGA people that didn't want this.
Absolutely not. But the fact is that the things that Trump ran on kind of hypnotized the people the people that became his supporters. Because this guy is great.
Yeah.
He's shitting on the media. He just doesn't care. He's politically incorrect. He wants to pull us out of these endless wars. He wants to put America first, build a wall, control immigration. All those things are great. That's that's totally sensible.
And what
that's what a sovereign nation do. But now it's he's got to do something. Again, if Hillary had done this, if Obama had done this, no one of these people would have been for that, right?
It's his 4D chess, or he got this information that we're not privy to that he knows now.
That's really kind of an interesting story, too. Iraqi Prime Minister claims Trump threatened false flag attacks on protesters if he didn't accept oil deal. That's why I brought the other thing about the oil deal up, that there's still issues with the oil going on here, right?
It's amazing how just talking about false flags has gone mainstream. I think people are really primed now to understand the conspiracies of war and how the big boys really play. I mean, war tactics, they're dirty, they're sneaky, they're dishonest. It's all about people conspiring about how they're going to win and get their way.
Yeah.
And they'll do anything to get their way.
Iraqi Prime Minister Abdul Mahdi claims that in the buildup to Qasem Soleimani's assassination, President Trump threatened to carry out false flag murders of Iraqi protesters that that he would then blame on Abdul Mahdi unless he agreed to hand over 50% of the country's oil revenue. According to the Strategic Culture Foundation's Federico Pieraccini, I guess. Abdul Mahdi was angry about how the U.S. had failed to complete the rebuilding of Iraq's infrastructure and electricity grid projects unless they were promised 50% of oil revenues, which Abdul Mahdi refused. Now, you have this whole thing, of course, weaved into the invasion of Iraq, all these American companies getting the contracts to rebuild after they dropped the bombs, right? So there's layers of money that you can make on invading a country and essentially bombing it back to the Stone Age, right? You have Lockheed Martin, Boeing, Raytheon, all these massive military companies makes a lot of money when America drops bombs. And then, of course, they employ companies like Halliburton, among others, to come in and to rebuild a lot of the infrastructure. And I think that's one of the reasons, too, that the U.S. didn't leave. It's like, yeah, sure, we bombed you, but then we built this great airbase there. And so you got to buy it from us if you want us to leave. There's all those kinds of interesting things as well, right? But, again... Is this true? I don't know. I'm sure that they would disseminate information to kind of fling shit in the other direction too. That's kind of understandable, to be honest. But it's still kind of interesting, All right. Anyway, we can move on from there. All right. This is kind of a weird one. Of course, Daily Beast, a horrible publication. Absolutely
Daily
disgusting.
Communist.
The Daily Yeast, right? Remember? The Daily Yeast.
They can make bread.
They can make bread. Maybe it's vagina yeast. Remember that?
Well, that's why. That's bread. What I was alluding to.
Jesus. Anyway, sorry about that. Sorry about that visual, folks. Daily Yeast posts weird article fantasizing about Iranian attack on President's beloved Trump Tower. Now, this is what...
This is what they do. They love violence.
This article reminded me, but that's right. That's what I was going to say before. Basically, the only reason why the media has collectively been against this is because Orange Man Bad. Yeah. That's all
they're
that
not giving
is.
Any other reasons, like, legit reasons why we shouldn't go to war.
He's doing it. Let's use it against him.
That's all they're saying.
That's the insanity, of course, of the media. I see that both sides are playing this, but at the same time, the GOP establishment and, of course, in cahoots with the Israeli lobby and the Zionist factions, they're getting their desire now through Trump, essentially, him doing their bidding, right? But again, the media takes this just insane approach where they're like, oh my God, like, they're becoming like a fifth column. They are, right? But it's just insane. The Daily Beast posted an article that all but fantasized about Iran launching a terror attack on the president's beloved Trump Tower. Yesterday, Hassamidi Ashina, top advisor to Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, implied that the Trump-owned properties could be targeted in response to the killing of Qasem Soleimani by tweeting a link to a Forbes magazine profile that listed the properties. Earlier today, the Daily Beast's Michael Daly penned an article entitled "Attacking Trump Tower? Would Iran Be That Reckless?" with the sub-headline, "His Pride and Joy." The article quotes a, quote, senior American intelligence official figure who says Trump Tower would be Iran's dream target, before asking, why hit the White House when you can hit the center of the earth? Really? They can surely imagine how the Donald would react to the destruction of his beloved Trump Tower, writes Daly. He then argues that police at the entrance could probably repel a gunman attack, but that, quote, the concrete barricades that line the curb would do little to protect it against a vehicle bomb.
Yeah, so they're planning all the potential scenarios of how you get it done.
Outside the Fifth Avenue entrance.
Well, this is the thing that people have to realize about leftists. They're not anti-violence. They love violence and bloodshed. Hello, communism, mass murder. They just they love it when they commit it, you know, against people they hate.
Yeah, it's just like, this is just insane. Nonsense, because like the Iran has not been like behind a terrorist attack like in the U.S. But the Daily Beast are like ready to line up and do like a Muslim attack and like blow up another tower just because it's Trump's tower, right? These people are insane. Look at Daily. Then last paragraph of this, Daly then speculates as to how a successful attack could unfold. Around noon, I think they're fantasizing, salivating over this issue. Like, imagine if it goes off. Around noon on Monday, a truck of the same type that Timothy McVeigh used to bomb the federal building in Oklahoma City, which was devastating in effect in 1995, stopped for a red light on West 57th Street, a half block up Fifth Avenue from the tower. An Iranian sleeper agent with a load of explosives would have needed only to make a right to do his worst before anybody could have moved to stop him. Anyway, suggesting to a foreign enemy is disgusting. Yeah, some comments on that too. But yeah, they think that's funny. The Daily Beast is like, this is funny.
I have to say real quick before we move on too. Sure. I did see some, I was following, some Twitter handles in Iran, and there are some cringe posts that I saw from, officials that are higher up in Iran. And they weren't coming with the good punchy hits against Trump, but like, hey, you're occupied government and what are you doing and all these other things. They were saying, hey, Trump, you should focus more on inequality in your country. We know how the blacks are treated and blah, blah, blah. Like taking the race angle. I saw lot of Iranians hitting Trump with
cringe. It's kind of like, when you do, there is some truth to like when you see, yeah, certain like programs on RT and some Russian state-funded stuff. They know that they're. Let me see if I can explain this quickly. Now, obviously, Russia has self-determination. They want or self-preservation. They want to do things that's better for them. A weakened America, I mean, less chance that they put pressure on
Russia. Take on those weak
Russia,
spots, right?
Yeah. So Russia, of course, would reasonably employ tactics to make sure that if there are schisms within the country, of course, America is right now culturally and racially, even religiously, being divided in the middle.
It already is.
So, of course, you would have, state television, like even press TV in Iran. You would have RT, Russia. There's other programs too. that like push on that button, the race issue or, you know, racism of the past and stuff. And it, I see that it's not because they're genuinely interested in that, but genuinely because it's about disseminating information that's pouring salt in the wounds. That's what I think it's about, right? So I think there's some.
And that would probably bother Trump because he's always trying to signal about his black friend or whatever.
It's possible, you know. But again, it's about like that crowd that goes to like RT, for example, and they do some good stuff here and there. But like, I get that there's obviously agendas there too. You're always going to get that with media. People go there and like, yeah, they're right. You know, they give us information that we can't have. But then you realize a lot of those stories too. They like, yeah, it helps to pour salt in the wounds and you know, to a certain extent, create division. I mean, they're there. It's real. So it's not that this, if they didn't talk about it, it would just disappear. I'm not trying to argue that either. But I'm just saying that they're opening the wound greater.
At the same time, there are people in Iran who know exactly what the score is and what's going on in America. And they do talk about it
definitely.
Openly.
So. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, they know very much about the Zionist influence as well. Very much so. All right, this was funny. I thought it was a tangentially related story
so
to this.
So dirty, this one.
Ugh. Cardi B. Now, I'm sure somewhere if I walked into a store that someone would have played her music, but I've never actually, I never heard
Couldn't
this lady,
out.
But, you know, whatever. Cardi B says she's filing for Nigerian citizenship
awesome.
Because Trump is putting lives in danger. Nice.
Well, you'll
now,
be real safe in Nigeria.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. Now, I don't know what the specifics are. Why Nigeria? If she's done, has she done a DNA test? Does she know she has ancestry from there? I'm not sure, right? Cardi B's blasting President Trump for last week's airstrike to kill Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, telling her Twitter followers that she's applying for Nigerian citizenship. I mean, heightened tensions between
right.
Iran and the U.S. The rapper, a supporter of Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential bid, tweeted that Trump is, quote, putting Americans' lives in danger, calling the strike the dumbest move Trump did so far. I'm filing for my Nigerian citizenship, she added. And she started posting apparently on Twitter like, yeah.
Fast track it, Cardi B.
We were Kang's kind of outfits and stuff like that of her, I guess, her husband and her kid.
Go help build Wakanda in Nigeria,
various,
Cardi
like,
B.
What is that?
Cardi Big Behind.
Let me go back here. Yeah, like this kind of stuff. I guess this is the husband. Convince him to move with me.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a Wakanda outfit or something? Is that,
And actually, if you look at the history of a lot of this this wardrobe, it's very new. What they think is like authentic African clothing and stuff actually came much later, and it was even with the help of Europeans, some of it, as far as getting
new.
The colors and the clothing dyes and things like that.
Yeah.
It was actually a black guy who was in America who learned a lot of these things and kind of came up with this style.
The style for
it's
it,
not
yeah.
really that old.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, I get that. This one, Nigerian government official Abdike Darabi Iriwa responded to Cardi B saying, "Our doors are open, sister." Yeah, well, why not? I respect that, right? Sure, if you don't like it,
remember
you can go
those, all those lefties that were saying when Trump got in, they were going to move to Canada. It's like, why not Mexico?
How many did, right? Though,
none.
It's pretty amazing. But so
like,
she's
I'm
going
to move to a white country
cringe.
If Trump gets in.
I'm going to move to Norway. The Pentagon confirmed last week. Okay, it just goes on about the Iran situation after that. But yeah, it is kind of funny. Like, yeah, feel free to leave. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's like, I think it was in Nigeria, projected to be 700 million people there by the
it's
end
crazy.
Of the end of this century, I believe.
And thanks to a lot of foreign aid too, and dropping food bags and all that medical and everything else.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Anyway, I think let's do a couple of super chats before we move on here, before in case that comes in. And again, forgive me, guys. I'm like, I'm foggy-headed today, so I'm like, ugh. You know.
All right.
I'm doing the best I can. Pamela sent $10 on Donor Box. It says, "Hello, everyone. I'm here, too. Happy New Year." Thank you, Pamela. Happy New Year.
I owe you a call,
Pamela.
You
as well.
It's been wild. I've been trying to make time. But
yeah, the last week has been
anytime I have a pocket,
impossible.
There's something else I have to do.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me back up in the activity on... DLive here as well, guys. Go through some of these real quick before we carry on. Pyrus 777 sent a diamond. Thank you. No message. SP483 said sent a diamond. Said, "When will your shirts be back in stock?"
Hey, I have to work on that. Yeah, I'm going to work on that here.
We do have a few still, but
we still have
maybe
some
the one you were looking at
or
was
two.
Not there. Yeah. Well, I want to do some new prints as well.
Yeah, and I have a lot of patterns that I need to motivate and get over to the factory. So of other stuff that's not red ice.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted. SB43, thank you for that, by the way. We'll definitely have some new prints as well coming up. Maybe I was thinking a hoodie, too. It would be cool, actually. Porch Monkey, a diamond, no message. And Maxi Bro sent a diamond as well, no message. I hope I covered all of those. Before we move on, let me just refresh this as well here. Here we go. Oh, Brad Grimba sent another message, too. $50. Well, thank you, sir. He says, freedom checkers. Can you imagine what he said first? Oh, and it begins. Can you imagine if someone told the U.S. they'd be attacked if we didn't start acting like a normal country?
Yeah, I would love to see what would happen then.
I mean, ironically, it's like as these Western countries
stop
are just
hating
totally,
your white people or else we'll sanction.
Heading totally off the cliff, right? Just insanity of the things that's happening. But then it's like, you behave. You fall in line what we're doing now.
Yeah.
Also, but much less relevant, my little bloodhound pup just treed a raccoon all by herself when I was inside. She's not even 4 months. Sending a raccoon up the tree.
Okay.
Treed
up the tree.
Right? She's not even 4 months yet. Don't worry. You aren't supposed to care or anything.
I like raccoons. We actually have a few that live in our backyard. I do give them scraps here and there. Everyone's like, you shouldn't do that. They're actually very nice. They're like big cat dogs.
Yeah, they're nice. He says, but nobody's home. And I had to tell someone how proud I was. Ha-ha. Nice. Okay. Yeah, we like raccoons. But, yeah, man, that's fun for dogs to chase them up the tree.
Yeah, of course.
That's good, you know?
They come up and look at our cats. Our cats just sit there. Like, they get along. But dogs, they're scared of dogs.
Hey, you should take some photo or videotape it next time, Brad, and we'll show it.
We like nature.
absolutely. That's good that she's getting practice. Right? Just 4 months. Yep. He's definitely getting there. Thank you, Brad. Glenn the Chinaman, 20 on Donor Box, says, hey, I heard the Queen just renewed her TV and car crash license. I like that. Yeah. Well, is that our next thing lined up here? I guess. There's a couple of more here before we get to that.
Yeah.
A couple of quick stories here, actually. I want to show this real quick. I read about a story. Earlier, was it last week, there was a Somali refugee in Sweden, 19 years old, who anally and vaginally and anally raped a 13-year-old girl in Sweden. No jail time. He got essentially sentenced to like 2 weeks, I think, of like community service.
How is this even? I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine if that was my daughter. I mean, can you imagine if that was your daughter? That guy would be getting along more than 2 weeks.
Would be. Someone would die. I mean, that's just
the
situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's the natural response as a father. If your daughter was violent, your young daughter.
I just can't even. You try to connect with that and like envision like what that would feel like, you know. And it's
like so violating. You'd be so angry.
Yeah, it's beyond that. It's beyond violation. I mean, these people, those who do that, a 19-year-old who does that to a 13-year-old. I mean, just get rid of them.
Yeah.
Like ban them from life. Like ban them. Like the final.
At least
banning.
Cut their balls off. You know.
Anyway, that's not the story I'm showing here, but I wanted to bring it up as an example of one story of the kind of things that you hear. In Sweden now, as they're because it's not that they won't have this spin on it, right? But the headline here says it's a Swedish kind of alternative paper, Nya Dagbladet, really good paper, that's talking about the Swedish security police that are singling out pointing out, I guess, that single men is a growing threat against the nation. It's the celibacy or incel bullshit that they're spreading in other, you know, in other countries as well.
They're
like
trying
the US
to cover for
Canada
these migrants here in Sweden this issue.
That's
because
just
a
it.
Lot of them are single and they're never going to get a woman. Most of these guys, and that's a good thing. They're never going to have a family.
And again, I'm sure that they won't have some kind of we're gonna honestly look at this and it's like they don't have any women. Okay, then they rape or they do something or violent crime or whatever. But that's not the spin they have. Again, this is like not. Down the lines of what, if you're originally Swedish or if you are a refugee or a migrant just arrived at the country, if you come from conditions where there's been violence, and again, I mean, some of these people that come from countries where like rape is commonplace as well, so they just continue that cycle of abuse, right? They were raped when they're young, and then they come to a new country, and they're just like, oh, look at these guys. They don't even stop you. They essentially put you in a nice hotel for couple of months if you do something like this and reward you, and then you can go out and rape again.
Some of the countries that these guys came from, that's why they had really harsh punishments for it, because
you lose a hand
had,
or something.
They had serious problems with it.
Yeah. Again,
the only thing they respond to is those serious threats of violence.
Yeah, and they come to an open, I mean, let's be honest, naive and stupid Western country, which is just like, oh, everyone's going to get along, and we're all equal, and everyone is the same. We just need
just
more education. And then
he didn't
understand.
No.
Yeah, he didn't understand our culture. It's actually anyway. So it goes on to says men who's living in involuntary celibacy is getting more and more attention by the security police, SEPO. It was a SEPO. Chief or a head, Klaus Friberg, and Anza Hagström. I wanted to highlight her as well because she's the Asian who was part of developing this lexicon for the Swedish security police as well, where she, for example, singled out milk as a white supremacy symbol. Remember we covered that many years ago?
Yeah.
She's some expert on like white supremacy and stuff like that. But again, there's nothing weaved into this that's saying, okay, you know, it's because people are coming from cultures where rape is more common, and that's why this has happened, and that's why that's a danger. No, it's just total blindness across the board. Swedish males are, in fact, that are single. They're an equally dangerous individual now as someone else who comes from a culture which is totally incompatible with ours, right? It's just unbelievable, but that's a pretty interesting story.
Now, if it was a Swedish guy doing the raping, it wouldn't be just 2 weeks.
No. I mean, this is the thing. There's guys there's a famous case, but I can reiterate again for those of you who forgot it. There's a guy that he was with a girl, lying in an apartment. He didn't approach her. He didn't do anything. He had apparently been lying behind her with a hard on, and he was sent to convicted of rape.
Oh my god!
Rape attempt, I think it was, or something like that. But he was literally put in jail
for a swing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's the difference, right? You can actually anally rape someone, and then it's like, 2 weeks.
A child,
child, exactly.
But if you lay there with a girl you're dating, didn't really touch her.
Let's just go for kids, right? I mean, let's see. That's how absurd it is. Anyway, continuing in absurdity stand here, I guess. Well, not Sweden, but UK, close. PC specialist ad banned in the UK because it doesn't feature women. Despite company's core audience being 87.5% male.
Oh my god. Like, literally, who cares? Who cares about this? I mean, it's only a few feminists that are watching, like, oh my god, where's all the women? I mean, most women could care less. Most women aren't even watching this advertisement.
Apparently the commercial, which featured a white man, a black man, and an Asian
not
man, isn't diverse enough. Nope. Do you want to watch it? Let's watch it.
I just wonder real quick, how long is this one of each going to be eventually? It's going to take like 20 minutes to represent all these different people.
Until there are no white people anymore? Actually, yeah. White people will be removed first.
But we've talked about this. At first it gets really ridiculous where it's like one of each shade, one of each sexuality, one of each whatever, right? So it's like 20 different people, and then eventually when the circle goes around, they want it to just be this one kind of human that's like sexless and raceless, right? Like, isn't that ultimately their cycle, their goal that they want?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a whole lot of nothing in there.
Blend it all to make this one, right?
A controllable blob that just does what the authorities tell you to do, right?
It'll be short, it's fat, the beginning, and stupid.
Indeed.
Beginning of the end. Following. It's the start of freedom, individuality, choice. It's an uprising, an insurgence for the players, the gamers, the I'll sleep laters, the creators, the editors, the music makers, the techies, the coders, the illustrators.
Let's be honest, it's mostly whites and Asians.
Customized
here,
like no other. From the specialists. For the specialists. PC specialist.
There you go. Banned. Banned in the UK,
this, like,
folks.
Really? Sorry. I mean, come on. Most people don't even see it. They don't even care. Oh, like, Jesus. Who cares about this? Who got it banned?
Huh?
Who got it banned? It doesn't even, like...
Well, they have this UK's Advertising Standard Authority crackdown on the
ads. You can't have pictures of, like, women in bikinis because it's fat shaming if they're
thin. After just eight offended morons complained. So eight people complained, and then the UK Advertising Standard Authority comes up and says, you know what? We'll make it
minority fall. Rule, and you always have to remember that. The majority of people that you talk to, like, they don't like all this garbage. Like, the mass majority of people do not.
What was the other one? There was another similar one recently, too. That just, like, they get, you can't broadcast this. This is, oh, it was the woman that had been given, she had a stroller. Remember, there was a woman sitting on a park bench.
A woman with a stroller?
With a stroller, and there was another one. Like the guy was, I don't know, in a car, you know, it was something like that. And that, like, one also was banned from being shown.
Stereotypical gender roles.
Yeah, just gender confining.
Oh my God,
yeah,
and wasn't there like a woman nursing a baby even in that one too? And they were complaining about that.
Yeah, maybe that's
because
what it
men
was.
Can be doing the nursing.
That's
now.
Right. Men can do anything. Well, I mean, if they dress up
they
as women,
strap on
otherwise,
what is it? Some like
controlled
fake nipple that like milk comes through. Yeah, they'll make all that if they don't already have it.
And this, again, I mean, UK is like...
It's gone.
These are issues that needs to be like restricted and controlled and everything, you know. Oh, man, it's pretty funny, actually. All right, some climate change nonsense here, too. Glacier Park in Montana.
I've been there. It's gorgeous.
Is it?
Yeah, gorgeous.
Set to remove glaciers will be gone by 2020 signs.
They're always wrong. And then they're, we meant 2040, and then 2040 comes. 2060.
2032, right? That's 12 years from now.
Oh, we're all going to die in,
2012,
like we were supposed to be dead for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly, 2012. And I was like, they calculated wrong. It was 2016. And they calculated wrong. It's 2020. That's when it all goes down. And the glaciers will be gone by then, too.
At this point, it's a wacky cult.
Some of the signs were already removed last year as it became clear the prediction wasn't going to unfold. Now the rest of the signs will have to be taken down, too. Glacier National Park spokeswoman Gina Kurzman told MTN News that the latest research shows shrinking, but in ways much more complex than what was predicted. Because of this, the park must update all signs around the park stating all glaciers will be melted by 2020.
Instead of just, sorry, we were wrong because the science is wrong. No, it's so much more complicated than we can explain and that your simple minds can understand.
Computer models indicate the glacier will be all gone by the year 2020. I wonder when these were made, early 2000s, I guess. Yeah.
I don't remember
always
seeing
keep this
that
in mind.
There.
Yeah. Always keep this in mind, folks, that it's always, and again, it's not because these people care about nature or are truly concerned. It's because they can use it for manipulative purposes. They can direct and steer human progress and directions and even politically where we need to go. And it's like, hand over you all these power to these maniac green parties. They're like basically are open communism and like, but with an environmental twist to it. Like give them all the power or you will die, right? Yeah. That's the threat.
I was thinking
about
it, where this environmental thing ultimately could go to, where it could hit. I mean, now we have... You know, public utilities. Mm-hmm. Eventually, though, it could be like you have an allotment for electricity and your media company can't use this much electricity because you're not one of the approved media companies that gets a higher allotment of electricity, you know, to power your studio and everything. I mean, there's no end to where they will go with this stuff.
It's insane. Porch Monkey sent a diamond earlier and said, refugees in Sweden will get state-mandated girlfriends. Yeah, exactly. You have to hang out.
Well, they're already doing that with friends in the old homes. Remember to try and get them together. They have their, like, refugee buddy. They have to spend 2 hours a week with these old people homes.
It's coming.
Exactly.
You're right.
They're going to be like...
Porch Monkey.
Every Swedish girl has to spend two hours a week with her migrant friend. Like,
it will be part of the social credit score system, right? Yeah. That is like your integration program, you've slacked off on that here. We have to take down, through 2 points on your social credit score, which means you can no longer, buy certain foods or you can't use as much electricity anymore or, whatever the hell it is, right? It's just totally insanity. But yeah, thank you for that, Porch Monkey. Good point. Just a quick note on this. This is actually a couple of couple of weeks old now.
The
but
Soy
I,
Whopper.
I wanted to, just quickly just mention it. Washington Post denies claim new estrogen-packed Impossible Whopper will make men grow breasts. Now, of course,
soy now. Just because people like us pick on it so much, it's hilarious watching these people defend soy.
Yeah.
Or I'm a soy boy and I'm proud of it. You know, you see those too. That's hilarious.
It's
like,
kind of like
you look like you eat soy,
like
buddy.
Pornography, right? The studies shows that it's like massively bad for you, and then like actually this is great. enforce it. So the burger apparently contains 18 million times more estrogen than a normal beef burger, which is, of course, quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
But of course, Washington Post have to show up and say, actually, it's not true. An entire article denying a claim by a veterinarian that Burger King's new estrogen-packed vegan Impossible Whopper could make men grow breasts if they eat too much, which of course is that happens.
They should pay for
gynecomastia.
It's a thing. It's a popular plastic surgery procedure in America right now.
Yeah.
To remove moobs. Yeah, but what they should do, Washington Compost, is find some guy who's willing to eat this burger for like a year. Mm-hmm. Just that burger with all these phytoestrogens and then we can measure and see what goes on in his body.
What was it? Supersized. Yeah,
that guy got trashed, man. Yeah, exactly.
For the vegan burgers. For this. Soy patties and stuff.
Maybe there's a lefty out there that, you know, would do that with us.
Yeah, willing to commit, right?
But someone that's like wants to defend soy.
But then they can kind of go, well, I'm transitioning anyway. So it doesn't matter. I'm proud of my moobs.
Yeah, I want them.
According to James Stangle, a doctor of veterinary medicine in South Dakota, the soy-based Impossible Burger contains 18 million times more estrogen than the original Beef Whopper. That works out at 44 milligrams of estrogen in the vegan burger compared to just 2.5 nanograms in the original Beef Whopper. And again, if you get that organic and grass-fed, it's even like less of that crap in it.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Anyway, it's just funny that like... Eat the soy. Eat the bug juice, the estrogen-infused bug juice, and have your Impossible Whopper, and you'll all be fine.
Yeah, I happened to see this, and I'm just like, oh, nothing says America like this, you know?
You want to play it?
Yep.
18 seconds. enjoy, guys.
It's Idiocracy, this whip right? I'm whipping, it give me all the tension. Got pretty much like
exquisite money. Nice. It's some Russian bitches.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna let that loop again. One more time.
It feels like I'm living in Charleston again.
Hey, this is Idiocracy right here, right?
Yes, it is. It's on a screen and we're laughing at it, but for completely Holy different smart. Reasons, of course.
Now, of course, Bass Poland posted this originally. He said, is this real or is it an implant?
They get them done now. Well, I mean, it's just the truth. Black girls have different butts. Like, you go to Africa, you see, we're shaped differently.
This has got to be something else.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're getting these, was it Brazilian butt lifts and butt implants? Jesus. And, like, it's a thing. They put extra things in their butt. Like, how does she even drive and sit and go to the toilet?
Well, she got out of the car in the beginning, right? Oh, well,
she's proud of it. You got to wear the spandex to just, like, hug it and show it off.
It's funny, I was like, you know what? I think with the future technologies and stuff, you know how people are into like their furries or they do some kind of body modification to try to be more as some kind of cartoon figure or some animal or something. I mean, I think this is just the beginning of like total insanity when it comes to like body modification trends.
There was one
like
guy who made himself look like a lizard. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. It was a big thing and was it 90s or something.
He had like horns in.
Yeah,
he did
the whole thing. That guy was messed up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more and more common. As more disconnected the general population becomes from like nature, what's natural, and we think we can do and be anything, we can, you know what I mean? It's like with that, you're going to get this like, I want to look like this cartoon character. You know,
I mean, seriously, I know.
Doesn't end with blue hair and you know that and shit like that.
The brothers, like, I mean, do they like that? I guess they like it that big.
I don't know. I just don't know.
It does make me think of a certain animal that has a a big rear end that it likes to show off when it's about to mate.
Red one?
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
I think I do.
Baboons.
Know. Yeah.
They have this big. Red butt that they show off when they're about to meet.
Yeah, well, it's not this bad. All right, a couple of donor blocks came in here. I can deal with those here. Particle 3S says Palestine is the provisional center of the world. It has roads that lead to Europe, Asia, and Africa. It's why they obsess with occupying the Middle East. Congrats on another bun in the oven. Well, thank you, sir. $50 too. Thank you so much for that donation.
You.
Well, it is true. I actually remember hearing, and I hadn't thought about it before. I actually heard Jordan Maxwell, the great conspiracy theorist and esotericist. I believe so. He mentioned that one time. I remember hearing that. He said he did a short video about Israel. It was very enlightening about Zionism and stuff like that. But he said if you look at a map, you can actually draw lines like down to Africa, up to like Russia in the northeast. You can go down to the Middle East and then up to Europe from it. It's essentially is the navel of the of the world. It's a, where you can do set up all the trade routes. That's why they have the Belt and Road Initiative there. It's a very, as everything is getting globalized, it's going to become an even more important center or location on the Earth. So you're absolutely right, particles for measuring that. And that's part of the deal. You know, these people are aiming to rule the world. And they want to have this as the theosophical, or what do you call it? Literal, but also like the spiritual, I guess I should say, for lack of a better term, spiritual center of the world, right? Yeah. With their temple and sacrifices and all that stuff.
Making you'll see. Book of they're Revelations gonna, come true. Yep, it's like a blueprint.
They're going to do all of that. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob
Okay.
Jacob H. says, for 10, says, it's 2020. Why does Lana have to carry your next child? For she yeah, did the on. Last one.
Hey, wait. It's Henry Stern. The Arnold...
Twins? That's the other one. We watched
that one, the Arnold Schwarzenegger one where he has a baby.
Yeah.
Do you remember? That one was messed up. Him and...
What was that one called
Danny
again?
DeVito. Oh, jeez.
It was not like pregnant.
Wasn't it
twins? Chad, do you recall Schwarzenegger?
Let me look it up.
It was definitely like a spearheading movie, actually. It was like back in the 90s or something.
Yeah, we rewatched that not too long ago and saw all these other messages in there.
Twins was the one with Danny DeVito.
Is it Junior? Yeah, Junior.
Was it Junior? Yeah, Junior. That's right. Yeah, thank you, Chad.
Junior
yeah.
from 1994. Junior. Just look
that's
it up.
Right. I'm going to pull up a cover from that.
And he's pregnant, and his girlfriend just like, well, this girl who falls in love with him thinks it's so amazing, and she's helping and taking him to the doctor and all this stuff. Like, it's
Let me pull up like the IMDb page on that, too. Yeah, this is exactly 1994.
1994, they were pushing message different now,
remember,
things in there.
No, I mean, as like absurd and as sick and all that shit that this is, now they're actually working on like artificial wounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I think because of, well, as we saw earlier, the estrogen, but also the just all the chemicals and everything that's making, you know, the disappearing male thing. It's a great documentary, actually a Canadian one, talking about how the fewer and fewer boys are being born. And it's all because of the same shit, yeah. right? Because we're pumping into the
They're also being born with
ecosystem.
Smaller wee-wees right
yep.
now.
Because all of those things are actually happening. But I think as that gets worse and worse and worse, you'll see corporations be in the hands of this more and more. Maybe even through the state or something like that eventually. And they'll have artificial wounds.
Yeah,
they'll have all that.
That
kind of stuff.
And then you'll have to have a permit before you can do it. Are you going to be, what kind of parent are you? What's your political views? And then maybe then they'll help you have a child. Yeah, who knows where this could go.
Let me just do one quick search here.
A trailer? We could play a trailer for this.
Of June. Yeah, we can actually do that in the meantime.
I'm trying to remember. He has the baby, doesn't he, in the end? Like, he has a cesarean,
I
right?
I don't know if they do.
I can't believe I can't remember that. I'm pretty sure he has that.
Wasn't it too long ago? Here it is. Let's watch the trailer for this, and I'll search for another thing I was going to try to find in the meantime, something I was reminded about. It's impossible. Nope, a little low there. Sorry, guys. Let me go back here. Here we go.
I am a scientist.
Yeah?
I'm a scientist.
Where's your vision? Opportunity's knocking here.
And he ran away
he
with
just
his
trying
maid,
to manipulate
right?
me.
Yes, yeah. I am. So what? We're on the verge of something fantastic, and I need you to carry it through with me.
What's going on?
Can you keep an open mind? I mean, really wide open. Let's put a bullet in
your brain's gonna fall out.
I must be crazy to be doing this.
You may be crazy, but you're also pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
Reitman.
Just can't keep Reitman. Down.
It's morning sickness. It'll pass. Eat crackers.
Alex, you're sweating like a racehorse.
What's going on?
Everything's perfectly normal, except for the fact that the mom is also the dad.
You look so beautiful tonight.
You look
this is prophetic.
Yes,
because what's happening right now?
Lit up. What's the good news?
No good news.
And he has these mood swings, and the wife has to deal with her girlfriend, right?
What?
Does my body disgust you?
No.
You're kissing women.
He starts acting like a woman.
No condition to start a relationship.
Of course, because he's all hormones, right?
I'm pregnant.
From Universal Pictures and Ivan Reitman comes something inconceivable.
Oh, my God.
Well, not anymore.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Now we're
it's
there.
So, it's just messed up. It's so disturbing looking at it. I remember just like, ugh.
Babies. We leave that to the women. Well, that's part of the beauty of being a guy.
And Emma Thompson. Right.
Do you think men don't hold enough cards? You have that. To take this away from us,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, the pushy
and then
feminist.
That's right,
yeah.
She was the feminist. Why is it always women that have to have the pain and carry it? And
but
it's great that you're carrying it.
So look at this. I mean, we're there now.
Yeah.
Transgender man opens up about being pregnant,
yeah,
giving birth. I had to deal with a lot of stigma.
Except in that one, he's an actual
Wiley
man.
Simpson. Now, I look at this.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. That's just, oh my God.
This is
poor child. Poor child.
Now, you thought this Schwarzenegger,
it's
you know,
so
old movie was science fiction?
Well, he still looks like a real man.
Obviously, it is. I know that it's a woman.
This
at the
one
end
has
of that.
A
but the point is,
uterus.
The point is that ovaries. It's about that they've now successfully manifested that vision to people. They can use the language. A man gave birth to a baby, right?
Oh, my God. It's so disturbing. It is just wrong.
I mean,
it's the bearded lady right there, you know?
I mean, it can't be good.
Used to be in the circus tents.
I imagine that this person is continuing going on hormone treatments and all kinds
think
of stuff,
of how
right?
That, yeah, and think of what that affects the baby
that's
in
just
the
it.
Womb.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Have they thought that through?
Let's see, let's check out
how the baby's developing and their brain, and then you're going to breastfeed, and these like drugs you're taking are going like that's serious stuff.
Let's check out this here.
And of course they film it, and they want to be famous for it and stuff. It's like part of why they do it.
Oh, tiny. I hear it.
Like this would not be possible if this person had not been born
drugs.
A woman. It's like you don't become a chicken because you put feathers up your butt. It's the same thing, right?
If you have ovaries,
a
uterus, you are a woman.
Yeah.
Like there's just no getting out of
it. But now it's like this double speak. It's like, well, now it happens. We just arrived there. Okay, this is actually not the clip I was thinking about. There was this in-depth kind of interview with these guys, but we don't have to look at it. Oh man. Jesus.
Yeah, I saw a while ago. Remember Blair White? The YouTube commentator, trans or something. Well, I heard that he was going to be, he had said in a video that he was going to go off the pills or the drugs order to have a child because all the estrogen that he had been taking basically was affecting the sperm, obviously damaging the sperm count. Like, so he was trying to get off of those in order to collect some good sperm, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, in order to have a child.
Amazing.
Yikes.
Amazing.
It's,
amazing.
It's
Jesse Lee Peterson would say. All right. Let's cover this as the last thing here. What happened?
I can't stand her, but real quick. The Duchess has returned to Canada to be with her son Archie. Wait, she left her son Archie with someone for a while. As discussions continue over the future of her and Prince Harry, the couple recently announced they're taking a step back from the royal family and will be splitting their time between the UK and North America. I think it was Canada, and I don't know why Canada.
Yeah.
The decision comes after many months of reflection and internal discussions. I'm like, okay, they've only been married, what, since 2018? So there's
is it that recently? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's different people. And real quick, I just want to say that baby looks pretty light. Anyway, people are saying this is like a coup. It's never been done before. You know, royals are like the mob. You can't just leave. But she knew. She knew what she was getting married into. But maybe she's had a plan all along. Because remember, even though she's half white, she's anti-white. Remember, she's made comments about the English universities being too pale and too stale and too male. And
do we have that headline?
Making comments
that.
About, you know, blacks being oppressed and not treated well in the UK and America. Like, she really has made a lot of anti-white comments. She does not like white people. Okay, it's just a fact. Now I see different sources claiming that, oh, it's racism that pushed her out. And I wouldn't doubt if she's even going to take this angle at some point just to get some more pity party and attention and take the race angle if that wasn't one of her goals all along.
Yeah, sorry, I just want to show that real quick. UK universities, too male, pale and stale, says woke royal Meghan Markle. Like this, what I'm saying is like this, oh, for no reason whatsoever, there were slightly few critical articles of her, and therefore that's an attack on her
and
because
think
of
it, it's
racism.
Like, right? You married a guy who's like powder white and male and English. Like, what a slap in the face to your husband, this man that you married. It's almost like it was a hate marriage. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, well, I hate you, and I want to get in there, and I want to, like, cause trouble, and then I want to, like, leave, right? To stick it to you people, and then cry about racism and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and a lot of people also say that she's rotten and she's hard to deal with, so, you know, I don't know, maybe this other people didn't want her there either. I see a lot of people are rejoicing that she's leaving the UK, but then also it seems like she's trying to isolate him, maybe in a way to try and control him. I mean, he seems like an idiot too, and he just joins along with her anti-white whatever she's doing or saying.
Yeah.
But either way, I could care less. I think it's good that she gets out of the UK. England is not her home. She's never going to be English. I don't know. Why Canada, though? I don't know.
It's because it's Commonwealth. I mean, again, it wouldn't be a problem for... I mean, she has American citizenship, right, as well. I'm sure they could get Prince Harry one, but it has to be because it's the Commonwealth, so it's not Europe. It's not... I mean, I remember reading stories a while back. There's like, oh, I wish we could live in Africa, they said, and stuff like that. I mean, now they're choosing Canada for some reason. For some reason, they would go to another Western country, but...
The other thing I saw here is Harry was saying something about finding his own way financially, that they're not going to get money from the royals. Yeah, ooh. Right. You know, people made jokes about him, as you told me, finally moving out of his grandmother's house or whatever.
On giving allowances, right, by mommy and daddy.
And the thing is, like, I don't know if he's one of those, like, old school royals had to be skilled, right? They knew they had different talents. They had to work on new different languages. They were very educated. They learned to, you know, use swords and all these different things. Nowadays, I don't know. This guy was just a party animal, like, all the time. So I wonder what he'll do to financially sustain himself. Speaking tours?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's amazing. Yeah, royals left deeply disappointed by Harry and Meghan's move to quit the family. Well, you can't quit the family. But, yeah,
I saw Royal Communications on January 8th. They made a statement basically saying that, oh, this is a complicated issue and it's going to take time to work through it. This has never happened before. And basically, like, they were caught off guard. I have a hard time believing that. But
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's – I also felt it was a little bit of a cover for the Prince Andrew debacle that had been raging for months and months after the Epstein stuff, and they couldn't, like, you know, cover that up sufficiently, and now this is shaded that issue. This is in the main center now. This is in the spotlight, and oh my God, they're creating the royal family and stuff. I guess it was the official Twitter, right, or something. Statement on discussions with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. Statement of Buckingham Palace. Basically, they haven't worked any of this stuff out yet. Yeah, they're like still deciding what to do, how to move forward, what their role is going to be.
I mean, she hated a lot of those people. She was always making these really rude anti-white comments. It's like, why are you doing that in England, a country founded by whites, and then putting in, like, the royal, you're basically slapping the royal family in the face by saying, oh, their universities in this country is too pale and too white. Like, I'm here to shake it up because I'm spicy now, right? Like, I can't stand you people, but I want to be right there just to, like, annoy you.
Well, here's when you know it's for real. When Madame Tussauds wax museum finally removes your display, or you're not part of it anymore, then you know that it's for real. I've actually been there. What was it? 10? How many years ago was it? More than 10.
I think I was
10.
There too. Were you there together? Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was. I forget. It was quite a while ago now. I think. It wasn't anything special. I mean, it's like celebrity things, right. Essentially. But, you know, it's kind of an odd clip, though, because they're showing them, like, there, and then now, like, oh, now they're
now
gone.
They're gone. Oh, well.
You can go and see them face to face, the lizards. And
they're shape-shifting right now.
They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. Look at that.
They shape-shifted away.
Oh, my God. It's for real, folks. Madame Tussauds removed them. It's finally
but
finally,
you know, she has to be in the spotlight, so she probably has some plan, right, to, like, get more, to just be more noticed and have people talk about her all the time.
Yeah.
I can't stand her.
So this issue, though, too, there was this, there's two issues, right? One is that the royal family then actually felt difficult that he didn't go with an English girl, or at least a royal from another European house or something like that, right? So that was a thorn in the side of them already, because supposedly we hear all the time what bad racists they are, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, Buckingham Palace has released statement after statement of every time the press said something negative, it's like, we're against this horrible treatment.
They don't do anything about it.
You know, this is racism and this is bad, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we don't know what to think on that level. But the other thing was that Harry, of course, wasn't the child of Prince Charles, was another husband that Diana got with, and people have speculated, what was his name again? Hewitt, right? Hewitt was the guy. Now, I've seen some photos.
Strong resemblance. And then both when they're younger. Underneath?
Well, this is like, of Prince Charles, which is the grandpa, yeah. Which he does look more like the grandpa, actually, than the father. Yeah. But, you know, again, this is there's these speculations. Like, was it real?
That looks pretty close to
that. Looks close. But, you know, was that the reason why they wanted to out him? You know, there's all these questions. So they could sacrifice Harry for this, like, multicultural sort of propaganda effort, essentially, of saying, see, the royal family is modernizing. We're mixing out as well, right? You know.
Something went down. Something that they're not going to tell you about that we'll never know about, yeah. Obviously.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Hey, a couple of more super chats came in. RK says on Donor Box, says, what to do? You all are dead already. Please don't come a place where I live. If you do, we kill you. But where do you live? So we can come visit then. If you don't know where we live, then now you know how people who don't like open borders feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, thank you, RK. Der Scherusker says, keep up the good work. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Thank you for the support. All right, let's do a couple of more here, then we'll close off here.
Yeah, I'm going to do that one later.
Oh, this one here about North Dakota?
I'll go back to that Weekend Warrior.
Okay,
into that a little bit.
Let's do this. Let's play Tucker's call out here on Joe Biden. Presidential running, of course. We've played that clip many times. We're talking about it's great that whites are becoming a minority. Here's what it really feels about immigration. Check this out, guys.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people. The idea that a country of 330
guys looking
million
away
people
there.
Cannot absorb people who are in desperate need and who are justifiably fleeing oppression is absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I would also move to increase the total number of immigrants able to come to the United States.
Yep.
How many of those immigrants will be staying at Joe Biden's house, at Joe Biden's
turn
expense?
This up a little bit.
Zero, of course. Biden's view is that our chief mission as a nation is to admit as many poor people as we possibly can.
Yep.
The less impressive their country of origin, the less they're able to contribute to this country, the more we want them. You are rich, they are poor, therefore you must give them money, the right to vote, a permanent home. And once you've done that, repeat. Biden claims that's our moral duty, that Donald Trump and anyone else who shirks that duty is a racist. But is Trump shirking that duty? Is the basic claim even true? It's worth assessing. There's so much lying. So once again, we go to the numbers, and here's what they are. From October 2018 to September 2019, the Border Patrol apprehended 977,000 people at the U.S.-Mexico border. That's the highest total in more than a decade and more than the previous 2 years combined. Now, keep in mind, that's just the people being caught at the southern border. Many more are getting through without being caught, of course. And then there are the tens or hundreds of thousands of others who enter legally but then overstay their visas. These illegal immigrants are tethering themselves here with millions of anchor babies. It's not a talking point. It's a fact. According to the Center for Immigration Studies, for example, 372,000 children of illegal aliens were born in this country just last year. Every one of them is now an American citizen, and their parents are benefiting from a whole suite of benefits, food stamps, Medicaid, other programs.
And of course, they won't be deported like slaves.
Yep.
Wonder how we got 22 million illegal immigrants?
It's almost like they believe in white supremacy, Joe Biden.
So by any actual measure, by the data, illegal immigration is worse than it has been in a long time. But for Joe Biden, it's still not enough. 22 million illegals? Why not 30 million or 50 million? And every one of them gets free health care paid for by you. That's his promise.
Meanwhile, we all pay out the arse.
Is your country really so spectacularly rich that we can afford this? And of course, you know the answer. We're not a rich country. We're more than $20 trillion in debt. Our middle class is dying. In part because immigrants willing to work for less have driven down wages. It doesn't make the immigrants bad. They're coming from incredibly poor places with totally different standards
of living.
But it's an economic fact that when you flood the labor pool with people willing to work for less, wages go down. And that's been going on for decades.
And customer service and everything else.
Companies control it or support it, and that's why you know, the Reds and the Communists and the progressives support it, because it replaces white people, you know. You have this sinister
demographically overwhelming white Americans forevermore is what they want to do, to make sure that they can't unify, to make sure they can't have anything of their own, make sure they can't fight back against some of these really powerful, ugly forces. Right? It's about hate. It's about control. It's about displacing us forever.
Yeah, the sinister kind of agenda alignment really between these different factions, and now this resulted in, again, we played that clip many times. Joe, we don't have to play it again here today, but he's talking about how it's a great thing that people who look like me, he says, white people, Caucasian, of European descent, will be a minority in this country.
And America. Joe doesn't live in the hood, does he? He's wealthy. All these people that are pushing,
all these people are getting paid. You know,
all the richest, whitest areas in America right now are liberal areas. Liberals who are crying out for open borders and so-called diversity and all this, you know, third world immigration. They don't ever have to live with these people. You know, they're never gonna have to. It's gonna be like Brazil. I've been to Brazil. You see these gated communities of very rich people. You see that in other parts, some parts of South Africa too, where all the lefties are. They live in these rich gated areas in South Africa, while they're saying there no one's killing white people here. Like, you have armed guards around your palace. You know, maybe in your place they're not.
They'll take choppers between their ivory towers, essentially. They'll not even mingle with the unwashed masses. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They won't actually see any of that, right?
The poor people are suffering. All the white poor people are suffering the worst. They're being hit the hardest because they've been here the longest, and they're in the system, and they are literally last in line for everything. And by the way, all these people are so-called, they're saying, fleeing for more. I've done my own census many times. Henrik, you've done it with me too. Come across people from other countries, you know, ask them, why did you come here? What happened? Literally, I've never heard anyone say war.
No, it's because they can. It's because the door is open, essentially. Yeah. It's not like, well, you know,
I saw a movie. It's always these really dumb responses. Yeah, just because they could.
But that's what happens when the country's policy is, yes, everyone, you guys can come. And if you feel like, and again, it's like, yeah, many are, it's material comfort.
It's materialism, they can buy things.
It's convenience. It's, you know, it's all these things. And then, as you say, people
watch movies and TV shows.
And it's like, hey, they're great and be in America.
Remember, we talked to a couple of these Turks one day, and they were like, oh, well, it's not like, we were watching TV shows of like America in the 80s. And I was like, when it was really white. Like, they liked that when it was really white.
It was like that.
And then they came here, and then they discovered, like, it's not like that at all. And like, things are cheaper in Turkey. It's like, oh, you can always go back home. Where can we go?
It's a little bit of a different dynamic because, you know, in Europe and Northern Europe specifically, of course, there's a lot that know the generosity of the welfare systems of, like, you know, UK, Germany, Sweden, and stuff like that. But there's also a little bit of a different flavor there because it's an incredible hostility. Again, it's not 100% obviously, but it's a vast majority that are like, they come into the country and there's an immediate, like, we hate you kind of attitude, which is very bizarre. It's like this, you know, humiliation campaigns of young people in school, and it's like They hate Swedish people. You know, it's very strange. What have we ever done to them?
Nothing. Right? And it's also here in America. I've talked to some of the guys, you know, in this town where they're, you know, white guys in the trades and building and stuff, where they've seen a rapid demographic shift and seen a replacement of these large Mexican crews, or they're like the last two guys on the crew or something. They told me horrific stories about how they were treated, how they were, you know, shit-talking them in Spanish, how they were giving them a hard time, and also how they would, like, try and steal from them. And, like, all these stories, it's just like, it doesn't sound like people that are grateful to be here and happy to work and, like, who want to be friends. You know, they don't even try to speak any English. It's just, wow, you know, there is a lot of, sure, there may be some nice people or whatever, but there's a lot of them who aren't. A lot of them who are resentful and hateful, and it's like, why are you here then?
It's strange, and again, I think it's because they can. But at some point, as Tucker kind of alludes to and stuff like that, sure, there are some bad people. I mean, look at the people that come in, and for example, like that guy who raped a 13-year-old, right?
That's a bad man. There are bad people.
Like, there are bad people, but sure, the majority of essentially selfish. They're seeking a betterment for themselves, and then without kind of at the same time realizing that, you know, if you let enough people come in, then it becomes like the country you fled from.
And let's face it, a lot of these people, when you talk with them, they're not smart enough to even think these things through. They don't even care about the local population. All they see is their immediate need and what they want. Don't think long term. They don't think big picture. They don't realize how their presence of all of them taking over in this town, how what it's doing to all the people there. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very interesting. Anyway, at some point you can also just say, no, thank you. We're full.
Yeah.
That's how easy it is. You know, you don't have to make a big fuss of it. It's like, no, we've had enough.
Say no. Yeah. We have this country was built on immigrant. No, it was built on pioneers and settlers. And just because of that, then the people who live in the country can never, ever again say, that's enough immigration. We've had enough. Stop. Forevermore, it just has to be open.
Never assert yourself. And again, all this is just, it's power. It's control of language, which ultimately controls the mind or the thinking process, that somehow that it's impossible, right? That this is mind trick, that the talismanic kind of projection of what, how things need to be. They're like psychically almost manifesting, like, no, what are you? You're saying we couldn't like have open borders anymore? Like, yeah, exactly. We could just stop it.
Yeah, and then just say no.
And then the people
who
committed severe crimes, or people who obviously like have shown that they hate the country that let in them and the people living in it, yeah, they can also go back. You know, it's like that's okay. Like you can assert yourself. You can think about your own group first before you help everyone else. It's not strange, but this is how they're trying to make it seem. It's an impossible. America has always been a melting pot.
And we can take on the world. That's what I'm saying. These liberals, they do believe in white supremacy. They believe that the white majority here
can absorb,
sustain the whole,
the rest of the world.
Sustain the whole world on our backs. They think white people are supreme.
But the thing is, they don't actually think that. They know that it's leading to the destruction of Western,
I mean, Joe Biden's
for the sake
so
of
out
simplicity,
of it. I don't know
Western
if he even,
world.
I don't even know. If
well,
he
I mean, again,
so
that
through.
Clip clearly showed. Now he might be, but when he did that clip, what is that? Probably 5-6 years ago, at least, he was very conscious that this is a good thing, that he's turning his own people into a minority. He loves that. He thinks it's.
I don't know if that guy's
great.
Just a turncoat, because years ago he was singing a total different tune, of course, you know. Yeah. But again, he goes home to his gated community. It's all we always have to ask: what neighborhood do you live in? Do you live in these neighborhoods that have been impacted by mass immigration and lots of poverty?
Or just
these poor
you take
areas?
Him in, though.
Again,
have that. Do you remember the Swedish video, the form ready? And
oh,
say, hey,
oh, great. I got
actually,
a couple
I have
around the
three
corner.
People right now. So you can actually sign this paper and you can let them into your house and see how they react. I mean, no, it's just someone else that's going to fix this without recognizing that this brings issues. It's cultural collision. It's people who don't understand each other. In some cases, there's resentment. There's economic differences, educational differences, language differences. All these like troubles and things which have taken in many other countries that had this policy for a while, like America. Sure, they had a massive wave of immigrants come. But then they literally closed the doors and they were like, okay, we need to like this. And that was a difficult process, like integrating, you know, Italians and, you know,
just,
Slavic
just
people
different
into
white people
that.
Was,
yeah.
was
that
trouble,
was
you
hard
know?
Enough to do that, right? And but
like
they had
America
a
was fine.
To
was,
that.
There were some Chinese, there was a few Mexicans, there were some Indians and blacks, and then it was a white majority. And it wasn't like everyone could have their different pockets and their different areas. Sure, there was problems, but it was like it worked because it was like, okay. The floodgates weren't open, and it wasn't just these people from all over the world just coming in. Like, there's just never any kind of adjustment period happening.
No,
just all that happens is we're turning into a third world country.
They're going for the kill. They think we're going to be able to pull this off. We're going to demographically replace these people, and we're going to keep enough of a suppression level on social media, on website, in the media discussion to be able to keep these talking points and this information out of the general population from circulating, and so people can develop vocabulary and a mentality that says, actually, we need to stand up for each other. They think that they can get away with this. They think they're going to succeed. They don't care if they destroy everything in the process. That's what I think actually is the goal. It's not about building some utopia. They want to destroy. They have hatred in their hearts. They see traditional Western culture and society as an enemy and as a problem in the way towards their global, you know, hellhole that they're building, essentially, right? Yeah. And that's why they're doing this. That's what I think it's about.
And also, in my experience, too, talking to a lot of these people who have come from Third World or Middle East or wherever, they're not even aware politically of what's going on. Some of them may not be blatantly anti-white. Some of them even aren't anti-white. But all they know about is voting for Gibbs. Like, that's all they do is like, I'm going to vote for the party. It's going to give me stuff. Perks for being a person of color and different handouts.
Mm.
You know, that's literally all they really care about. As soon as they come to America, it's all about like shopping. You know, sure, you have this sect that gets programmed with hardcore anti-white education, mm-hmm. you know, on top of it. So then they become worse the longer that they're here, like the second generation, third generation.
Yeah, ironically, it gets worse. Know? People think it's getting like, better, but...
It's not like someone who just came from Iraq. You could talk to some old guy who just came from Iraq and maybe have a good conversation with them or something.
Well, he might have been a little excited or like thankful or something like that, but then there's a...
You might be able to relate in some ways.
Unfortunately, again, that sets in generation two and three.
Yeah,
you know?
Two and three. Many of those turn to terrorism
too, by the way.
Yeah.
Right, most of those. All right, Lana, we could go on forever to talk about this here. Let me just do a couple of the super chats, guys, and then we can wrap shop. Mr. Wright sends a Ninjagini again. Thank you, sir. He says, wasn't it the Prophet Muhammad who was supposed to be born by a man? Was it?
I think I've heard something about that before. Ooh,
interesting.
The trans god, huh?
Interesting. I have not heard of that. I got to look that up. Thank you, Mr. Wright. And Wardius Jackson, I think it is, sends a diamond. Have you heard of Chris Lang or Langen? He'd be a great guest. I googled it real quickly here while we're talking. Christopher Langen, I guess it is. If this is the guy, he's some high IQ guy. I thought I heard him on a show and he had some interesting takes on things which I would assume that he would be talking about if this is the same guy. I'm not saying it was like, I don't think he openly like talk about immigration, but he talked about changing political climates and stuff.
Okay.
I'll look into it. If it's interesting, yeah, sure. We'd definitely think about it. Thank you. Interesting. Marfogel News sent a diamond. What's up, DLive peeps? We're doing a live show. Hope you're all doing well. Thank you, Marfogel News. Appreciate that. Diamond. And another one, he says, never seen red ice. Well, you have now, if you're here looking at it. And another one from the Ugly Jew came in as well. Another great stream, ML. ML brother, no homo. Hashtag no homo. I was watching your stream. Was it last night? It was actually when I was doing some painting. I was watching the Ugly Jew. He had an interesting discussion about drugs and getting off certain like opioids and stuff like that. Huh. He said he had been prescribed, what was the drug again? It's common. It's like what is that speed thing that they give to kids?
Oh, not Ritalin.
No, not Ritalin. I think it was the other one.
For the ADHD medication.
Something like that.
Or it's basically legal speed that they give them.
He said there was like, it was basically like speed or whatever, but he said he had struggled with that for years and he said he had gone
Ritalin.
Off of it.
I think it is Ritalin.
I think it was another one. I forget what it was called. Sorry if I'm totally butchering that or misrepresenting or saying something that you didn't say. I had it on in the background. It was a good stream anyway. You were talking with some
Adderall.
Guy.
Adderall. People are saying Adderall.
I think it was Adderall. That's
right.
A lot of people
get hooked on that
stuff. That's what he said. Yeah, he had been on that and luckily he had just gotten off of that and like realized that he was described that when he was like really young.
Yeah, it's
and I didn't catch what for really what bad. Reason it was, but he had been like really struggling. We try to get off of that shit, and then finally now he's off it. So he's trying to be more clean. So keep up the clean lifestyle, man. Glad to hear you're off of that.
Sad.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Here two more donor box, and then we'll wrap it up here, guys. Ted J says, "Don't tell Meghan Markle about CRISPR Cas9 gene editing technology, or Cas9, I guess they call it, right?" They'll try to make everybody get genetically modified to change their race, which won't work. But you all just end up with curly hair and big lips. That's funny. Now CRISPR, they're trying to do shit with that. I mean, that's true. Remember the Chinese bioweapon?
Right.
We covered that in detail in the Weekend Warrior show a couple of weeks back. Very bizarre shit that they're doing now with that stuff. It's coming. Daniel R. says, have you guys seen the new reboot of Party of Five? You know, I heard it in passing and I just quickly Googled it as I saw it came in. I see a headline from Slate, Party of Five still promises a good cry, but a reboot has a political edge. So I would assume it would be cringeworthy. I'll watch that later and then we might cover that in Weekend Warrior here on Sunday, actually, because that could be interesting. Have you ever seen that, Party of Five? It's an older show. I guess they're doing a reboot of that.
That's right. I remember the commercial in my head.
I have not seen it.
But I didn't actually watch TV shows years ago like that.
I'm sure it'll be cringe as hell. We'll take a look. Thank you,
it's
Daniel,
a reboot of it, was it?
Yeah, it's like a they're redoing it, I guess.
Is that the one with Jennifer Love Spewitt in it? I mean, Hewitt?
I'm not sure. I guess it was from, yeah, it went run from 1994 to 2000.
Nev Campbell. Yeah, okay, I remember this one. Yeah.
Okay.
Can't say I watched it, but
I'm sure it's
going to
be cringe. That's what the thing is. If it's a Slate article from 4 days ago that says, "Oh, it has a political edge," you know, it's
going
to
remake it all with a diverse cast. Is that what's going to happen?
I think it's going to be that and even worse things, I guess. RK wrote back, by the way. He says, "I'm from Finland, but don't send apes here anymore, please. 35K in, minus 15 is enough. We are full of." Well, you're better off in Finland than we are in Sweden, man. So don't complain. But I totally understand. You know, let's you know, there are zoos, and then you can keep them there. all right, guys.
The other thing you notice too, when they get in large numbers, their behavior changes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've seen that.
No, I mean, I'm not using that language. I'm just referring to, in general,
when it comes to immigration and stuff, you could have a few people, and it's like if you have a few people in a majority white classroom, you know, everyone's going to behave and just kind of conform to, you know, white people standards, I guess. But when you get large groups of people from a certain country that kind of hang out like a gang, then it's like all the rules go out the window and they just they misbehave more frequently too.
Yeah. All right,
as
guys.
We see.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Guys, check out next up here, then Weekend Warrior. Again, we apologize for the slow content this week, as we said in the beginning of the stream, because you're just turning in right now. We've done massive renovation stuff in our house. We have to deal with that. We did that this week, and most of it is cleared off the plate. So it'll be definitely a busier next week. Have a number of shows lined up. We have two new videos from you, I think, we need to complete as well and get up there and stuff. So more stuff coming. But of course, I was going to say, Weekend Warrior is up next. We'll do prep of that tomorrow, and then we'll record that on Sunday, usually up late on Sundays Eastern time. So check that out. Of course, we have 127 Weekend Warriors in the archives. We have the second hour of most shows. Not all are 2 hours, but of all the shows that are 2 hours, all of that is on redicemembers.com. Check that out. It's a great way to support us as well. You get access to tons of stuff. It's material back to 2006. Some really good stuff in the archives too, actually. So definitely check that out. All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
We'll wrap up there. Stay strong and keep fighting, boys and girls. And we'll see you soon. Thank you to all the support as well. See you later. Bye. Now, if you're new here, just want to alert you to Weekend Warrior, our exclusive show that we do at redicemembers.com each weekend. News roundup show. We talk about some of the current events, the most important stories. We have a good laugh as well. Laugh at some of the cultural Marxist absurdities in this postmodern age. Check it out if you haven't already. An exclusive show. People love it. They tune in each weekend. They don't miss a single show. It's well produced. There really isn't anything like it on the dissident right or the nationalist scene or the anti-globalist movement, whatever you want to call it. So thank you so much for watching. But again, if you want more, redicemembers.com, Weekend Warrior. Check it out.